the thighs to the cheek. Sex on the beach, check the size of my feet. Call me the Buddha, ludicrous.
Hi, guys. How are you? How is everybody? Welcome to the Skeptic Tank. This episode I've been looking forward to for a long time. I've been trying to interview Don Barris about his fucking road rage. He's got this horrible road rage. It's kind of unbelievable. He just out of nowhere he'll just start a fight with some. It just happens left and right all the time. Pretty much whenever you're in the car with him, he'll yell at somebody. Nah, maybe every other time, he'll scream at the top of his lungs at somebody. Like he's just. Whatever you think about road rage, it's done. So I've been trying to get him to do his podcast about it for a while, and he's always so fucking worried about everybody turning on him if he admits his stuff. But it's like, dude, just relax. Everybody loves you. So he finally agreed to do it, and I appreciate it a lot because, you know, this is... I was in the car once with Duncan Trussell. We're at this place where Subway and McDonald's is on, like... Sunset and Crescent Heights, that one little mall. Which, by the way, I heard that the reason there's so many homeless people there at that McDonald's is because they give there's like the homeless shelter or something, or an AA meeting, one of those, and they give you these chips, tokens for like free McDonald's or something. I don't know, or maybe just food money. I don't. It could be food stamps. I don't really know what it is, but. That's the closest McDonald's to this meeting. So everyone runs over there to go get their fucking... Oh, I'm cursing a lot. To get their shitty meals. Anyway, so we were there once, and this lady wouldn't let us go. We were trying to go in the parking lot, and she wouldn't. And we're just like, hey, move up or back a little bit. You're blocking us. And she just kind of gave us the, like, I don't know what I'm doing look. And then Duncan just rolls down his window lightly. He was in the driver's passenger seat, I think. And he goes, I'm getting road rage. And the lady just sort of looks at him weird and then sort of backs up. I love road rage. I love the ability to get that angry on the streets. I used to get it more. I've had to let it go a lot because, well, one, I just keep potting the car. But I'm like, I just got to relax. I'm killing myself. It's like you get wherever you're going to go. You're going to get there whenever you get there. Getting angry isn't going to help it. People get so fucking mad. I saw this guy on a plane once sitting next to me, and some lady was trying to get her bag in the overhead. And this guy was like, I mean, there's very specific guidelines. There's specific guidelines about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And it's just, if you follow that, we can all get going a little sooner. And I wanted to be like, bro, you're going to die of heart failure. You can't concern yourself with some lady having too big a carry-on bag. Just fucking, you're sitting down. Just zone out, man. Take an edible. Anyway, so thank you very much for Don for coming in and talking to me. I really do appreciate it. I think I've had him on the podcast more than anybody, except maybe Ren Azizi. That's possible. I don't really know. If there's any Skeptic Tank geeks out there, let me know if that's the case. I said I would promote Don about this stuff. So his Twitter is simply Don1. His Facebook is Don Barris. But then he's got these things. He's got the Big Three podcast, which is, if you've never seen Windy City Heat, I'll promote that every single time. You guys got to see it. Just at this point, it's on Amazon or just get it on torrents. But fucking, it's just such a cool fucking movie. It's a giant prank movie. You should see it. Anyway, there's a spinoff of that movie, and it's not really a spinoff of that. It's this project they've been working on, the Perry Project. At the time of the movie, they've been working on it for 13 years. I never know what to say without spoiling the surprise of this thing. I'll just say watch it. But anyway, their Big Three podcast is Mole and Don Barris and Scary Perry. It's just the three of them. And, man, I got to find out a better way to talk about this where I know what to give away and what else it can promote and stuff. Because it's... Anyway, if you don't know what it is, you should check it out. They have this Big Three podcast. It's on... They do it live now on YouTube. It's YouTube /VPN. It's Sundays at 7 p.m. And then they have the Ding Dong Show podcast, which is now on Death Squad, Red Band's network. at 10 p.m. on Mondays. And they also have the Ding Dong Show at 10 p.m. If you're ever in L.A., it's one of the coolest, craziest thing to do. This I can ruin because none of them are listening. It's all these, I'd call them delusional comedians. They're not that they're bad. It's that they have, it's not only that they have no chance of succeeding in Hollywood. It's that they believe they will succeed. And Don just sort of takes that and makes them do really fun, interesting. They do an act out of a song, of one of the songs from Grease, Summer Nights, I think. Summer Lovin', one of those. It's just an amazing show, and it's free. It's no cover charge. It's 10 p.m. on Tuesdays. On Mondays, I mean, at the Belly Room of the Comedy Store. If you're ever around there, that's the fucking thing to watch. So that's the episode we're going to do. So sit back and enjoy some good road rage stuff. I should say this. Let me do my dates really quick. I'm trying to do this the fastest way I know how. Ah, fuck. I've got to do Jim and Eddie's show tomorrow night. I can't do that thing at night. Okay. So, San Diego. We're doing a live Punch Drunk podcast at the La Jolla Comedy Store on the Tuesday the 29th. That's this week. Come on out. Me, Tebow, and Tripoli. And our sound engineer, Renee the Beaner, will all be there. So come on out. I think I'm going to be on Kevin and Bean February 5th, which is the day that my stand-up special comes out. It's available for downloads. Here's the deal, you guys. Comedy Central is never going to give me a special. And honestly, I'm not right for their network. So the new format is to make your own specials. And I got a company, Chill.com, who put a lot of money into making a special for me that looks really, really cool. They got Michelle Caputo and Shannon Hartman. These are like legit directors and producers that know how to fucking make it look right. We talked about what my taste for comedy. Problem with those Comedy Central specials is they all look the same. And there's no way Dave Attell should be filming the same type of special that fucking, I don't know who else films. Dane Cook. Dane Cook should be in a gigantic stadium, and Dave Attell should be at a bar somewhere, and they should look different. But Comedy Central makes them all look the same. Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to go off on that. But February 5th. So you can pre-order my special right now at chill.com/Ari Shaffir. It's $5. It's $4 if you get it early. So just get it early. It's what I've been working on for the entire 2012. It's the whole fucking year. So if you want to support somebody writing and performing and developing a new hour of stand-up comedy in a year, it'll cost you $4 to support that. $5 if you wait till after February 5th. Go get it. And then that's the way I'll continue. If we can make these guys their money back, it's a lot of money. If we can make them their money back, then they'll keep making these things with me, and I'll keep making cool specials every year. So that's the way that you guys can promote solid stand-up comedy. Just pay for it to happen. Then I will be in Raleigh, North Carolina, February 7th through the 10th at Charlie Goodnight's, followed by, I'll also be in Vegas February 1st, opening for Joe Rogan with Brian Callen. We're doing at the MGM where they do the weigh-ins. We're doing some gigantic show there. So if you're in Vegas, February 1st, come out to that. It should be massive. Okay, so is that all that? Okay, let me just do March stuff really quickly. First and second, I'm in Governors on Long Island. And then I'll be staying in New York for a week to look for an apartment, hang out with Ren Azizi and his wife, and get reinforcement about why I don't want children. Then I'm in Vancouver, March 21st, 22nd, and 23rd at the Comedy Mix. Nashville is not happening at the end of the month. They filled in the date, and so we're going to try to make it happen in June or July or something. Me, Kreischer, and Tom Segura. That'd be a fun show. I think everyone would like that. All right, that's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's the episode. Don't forget, help support me on go to Amazon.com or proflowers.com through my website, and that helps support the podcast. But right now, it's all about my special. February 5th, it's called Passive Aggressive. It's available at chill.com/Ari Shaffir. It's also available, there's a link on my website at the very top for it, arishaffir.com. Just go there and get my special. I'm so excited it's coming out. I just looked at the final edit. Everything looks rad. I did it at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. I like the idea of fucking small rock clubs or stand-up comedy clubs. That's what comedy is to me, and that's what I want it shown, and it was in that thing. So here we go with the episode. Are you guys ready? If you have any feedback for me, by the way, please send me a letter at contact@arishafir.com. I get them all. Somebody just told me about throat health, and so thank you for that. I have already started using those things. So here we go. Ari Shafir, Skeptic Tank, episode 98, Road Rage, with the number one road rage man I've ever met in my life, Don Barris. Twitter's simply Don1. Here we go. Rock out.
When I go driving, I stay in my lane.
So are we recording already?
I saw it when it was kind of low, and I thought, oh, is that...
Dude, Matt Edgar had access to the studio, and it's like a super professional one. Not that this one's like low class, but I'm talking about like high-level musicians record there.
Yeah.
Like Katy Perry records there, but it's places like that. And it's just, you just anywhere near it, and it picks you up fine. You can whisper like... this far away, just
right,
and it'll pick you up. Like,
but you know what? I think these are better because when I made the decision, I could. These are really expensive mics.
Oh, really?
I think what it is, and it's also, and believe it or not, it's about the microphone and how you. There's padding everywhere.
Oh,
that's soundproofing.
Oh, yeah.
So this is good, but what I did, instead of trying to get the outside stuff, so like if you talk over here,
yeah, it's a little off.
You can't hear it as much, so I wanted it more direct in, and I think that's better for podcasts, and you don't have background noise of, like, if something's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, background noise gets a little annoying. It's annoying when it's not, like, steady, when it's, like, a phone ringing gets bad.
Yeah, well,
I just, like,
but, like, out here, if you hear pounding.
Right, and it won't come up on this.
It won't come up on this.
That's great, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's weird that when people talk about it, like I did one with Greg Fitzsimmons and his dog was barking and like howling at the door, but you couldn't really hear it. So we just heard us talking. It was like, shut up! Shut up! Shut up! For, like, out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You okay?
I just, Greg Fitzsimmons started following me on Twitter the other day. So oh, when you mention him.
It just made you go off on a fantasy?
No, I just was like, I wonder if he even knows who the hell I am, or if he just...
Probably if he started following you.
Yeah.
He must have an idea, at least from following you. I don't know. How many people follow you? My point was going to be, you don't have to tell me exactly, but my point was going to be like, do you notice every time somebody starts following you, or do you just only notice when like a comedian starts following you?
I just noticed that because I happen to, you know, it also comes up on my, actually my email. It says that someone, every time something happens on Twitter, it sends me something. And it was just like one day I came in and the top thing on there was, Greg Fitzsimmons is now following you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I remember thinking at that exact time, I wonder what's going, I mean, and then when you said that, and then add to the fact that you force that shit down my
what
brain.
Shit?
This stuff that you Jews do.
Like what?
I don't know. The pills you take to relax yourself, maybe to make you feel better about what you've done to the decent people.
Vicodins, but it's not about what we've done. It's more just relaxing.
Okay, well, is that what you gave to me?
No. Oh, no, I didn't give you anything.
Why do I feel this way then?
It's because of the keef we smoked. Straight two bowls of straight keef. Mm. That might be why. Might have something to do with it.
All right, now that you mention it, that probably does.
How is your tolerance not as high as mine? That's because you go heavy in the store.
What's that?
You go heavy sometimes, like late night.
What do you mean? I'll have a couple hits.
Oh, really?
To relax myself. Are you kidding me?
No.
You have to remember this.
I just see the result. That's it. That's why.
I really...
Yeah.
I come from a pressure situation. I know that people probably think, oh my God, it's such an easy.
What, Jimmy Kimmel Live?
Oh, absolutely. It's because every second I'm there, I think if I do one thing wrong or I say one thing, there's going to be somebody that hears me that says something. Like, I just got done with something that was kind of mind-boggling.
Like what?
Well,
specific details and names, please.
I was very lucky. I've always been very lucky in the aspect that really no cameras are allowed in a studio.
It's lucky.
Well, Jimmy has given me permission, which is cool as can be.
Oh, to take, yeah.
Right. And what
to
he
take
did.
Take pictures yeah. of all the celebrities, all the guests.
And he actually was, I mean, really cool enough. He got me a really nice camera and said, let's get this. So if you're taking pictures, let's get some good ones.
Oh, cool.
All I ask is that you, every night, put it on this website.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And it was, and so I did it. And then one day, somebody left the company.
Yeah.
And he was the only one with the password into this external hard drive that I was putting my pictures in. He was the only one.
Yeah.
So now, we're talking about 2 years ago, I've put pictures in ever since. And so all those pictures are lost.
Oh, no.
So I said to people.
There's no way that guy remembers?
Nobody remembers. They went through it for days. And so I said, hey, is there any way that we could do this? Because instead of me at my place going through my folders, I could do it, but it's going to take me hours upon hours. And instead of me putting all those folders for 2 years of photos, putting those on a hard drive, bringing the hard drive over here, then transferring those photos into that computer, instead of me going through that whole process, because it's probably going to take hours and hours, is there any way that I can get the password?
Yeah.
All right. So nobody had the password when they made this new website, I should say, uh-huh. this new hard drive that's like an internal thing at the
company,
the show. Yeah. yeah. So only people on the company can get in. And I just wanted to be able to.
Nobody knew that password?
They just set it up. But everybody said, well, we don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And they said, okay, contact this person. I would contact the person. They'd tell me. Never got a response.
Bureaucracy.
Never got a response. Then I'd ask people, okay, how should I handle this? Nobody's responding. Well, you should go to this guy. He's a producer. He'll take care of it. So I must have spoke to this producer's assistant for 15 minutes and exactly what was needed. No response. I called back a couple other times. They're never there. And I thought, I got to talk to this guy directly. I'd never see him at work. So it became a thing. So now the other day, and in my mind, I was going to say, I'm not going to say anything about what's going on until Christmas. Well, then one of the guys that I spoke to started writing an email because he wanted to get pictures.
Yeah.
Is this boring as hell? Well, but he was one of the guys I had spoken to about how can I resolve this issue. And so he wrote things like, oh, he is not capitalized, not putting photos in the folder. And it's so I had to tell Jimmy
yeah.
what happened. And it's like, it's just
frustrating.
It's now these guys are going to get revenge. They've done it before.
They're going to get revenge on you?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Well, a long time ago, they gave me these balls to throw out to the audience.
Uh-huh.
And it was just
during
like
the warm-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were cheap little balls. And
swag.
Yeah, but it's who wants that?
Midwesterners.
No, not even them.
Does it say Jimmy Kimmel Live on it?
Yeah. But it was a little thing, you know, so small. It's like, oh, this is really cool.
Uh-huh.
And I would kind of encourage people to come up on stage with the prize. If you come up, I can give you one of these. Nobody wanted those, so nobody wanted to play.
Yeah.
T-shirts are nice. So Jimmy was out there one night and said, you know what? This is terrible. And he said, this is too cheap. From now on, I want 5 T-shirts with Don every single night.
Yeah.
Well, they gave them to me, but then this producer put a guy to watch me to make sure I gave away all 5 every night.
In case you embezzle some of those T-shirts?
I don't know. What are they thinking? I'm going to steal them? I've taken a couple, yes, but who wouldn't? Guys come in my box and steal them from me.
Really?
Oh. So I do that.
I love any sort of, when you have to get a budget down, they always take it out in the lowest level.
Oh. And then in the meantime, I was afraid to say anything about that. And then they cut it from 5 to 3 T-shirts. It's like, it's just everything I do is wrong. And there's no doing right there. So it's pressure from the minute I get there.
I thought you walk in, you take your shoes off, you walk over the trampoline bridge over to the fun zone. where everyone's playing in pillows and feathers, and then sort of eat cake till about 4:35. Then you start. Everyone's
it's
like,
actually,
"Hey,
it's actually nothing.
Get ready
like
for
that
the hug." And then everyone comes over for a giant hug. You get your teddy bear, and you go to set. You work for 25-30 minutes, and then everyone high fives, drinks a beer, and goes home. Oh, watch his feist, and then goes home.
Nope, nothing like that at all.
Oh, wow.
Weird. Oh, by the way, Ari, if I could...
Ari, yep.
By the way, one of your fans got in touch with me and started writing me.
Really?
Tell him
to back off?
No, no, no. Tell me how dumb I am. You don't even know how to pronounce Ari Shafir's name.
Yeah, you said it right that time. Yeah, that's how you. That's how he wrote it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want the wrath of Ari coming down on me, so I've got to call you by your name. Oh, by the way, I don't know if the podcast has started yet, but I would ask one question.
What's your first question?
I do not. Whatever you do,
yes.
I do not want to talk about the battle that I'm having with Brody.
Okay. What battle are you having with Brody right now?
I just said I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, weird.
Mary Jane, you were going to say
something? You have
something?
A question, Mary Jane?
By the way, illustrious
queen of the Barris household.
Turn that up.
Can I say what I witnessed last night?
Sure.
I was asking Don. Oh.
Well, I think that if you tell the end result before you tell the story.
I saw Brody last night.
Right.
He seemed good.
No, he's fine.
What's your battle with him this time for?
You
guys feud. You guys have always feuded.
Because
the only time that I've seen you be on good, nurturing, fun, equal footing with Brody is when he was strapped to a hospital bed in the psychiatric ward.
I took pictures of that. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're like, Brody, we care about you, man. We want you to get better so we can start fighting again.
That's, first of all, that's not the truth at all.
No.
And it's really unfair that
I'm
judging.
But you were very nice and nurturing while he was there.
I'm incredibly nice.
But then whenever he's back, you're just, you guys
no.
just angry at each other.
You see.
You're always fighting the two of you.
All right, I said I didn't want to talk about this, but now I've got to. It's really, why do you do this?
What? You brought it up.
All right, but you take the side.
I take the side of what I'm seeing.
Okay,
you
what did
fight
you?
All the time. I don't know who's right, who's wrong, who starts it. I just see you guys are always at each other's throats. Are you not? Is that wrong?
No, absolutely not. I completely walked away from, I told him, I don't want anything to do with you anymore.
Yeah, it sounds like people get along.
Okay, but no, but that's the way I.
Yeah, okay.
That's the way I handle everybody.
Yeah.
If there's and I'm. Oh, really? You think everybody likes you?
No, I'm saying that's a funny way to handle it. People.
What I do is this:
if
someone comes in my life, I don't have time.
Too much drama sometimes.
Yeah, and I just I'm just away. I no longer talk when I see you. I just walk by. There's no. Friendly, because I just don't like it. It's too much for me.
Right.
I remember when I first came to Hollywood and to the Comedy Store, I wanted everyone to love me.
Yeah.
And that's never going to happen.
No, no, no.
And when I started realizing that, it also helps you on stage because not everyone in the audience is going to like you.
So it's like, yeah, fine, don't like me.
Yeah.
You're a 64-year-old Christian woman.
Right.
You're not my target market.
Well.
So what are you fighting with Brody about now?
It's always the same thing. Brody has never,
Methadrone.
Ever... What's that?
Methadrone.
No.
Oh.
I feel bad for what Brody goes through. But you're going to say that I'm sane?
That you're sane?
Do you think I'm sane?
I mean, you're functional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I lock myself in my apartment.
Yeah.
I go three places.
Yeah, I wouldn't say you're too sane.
No, I'm
not. Not normal, definitely.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, thank God that there's a career that you can have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, everybody is that way.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, I thought it was a trick question. I was like, no, you're not sane.
Of course not. I mean, I'm not. But I'm functional.
Uh-huh.
I don't do anything wrong. I may handle... If I'm upset, I may handle things differently, but that's the reason that I don't have full-time jobs. I'm thankful to God that I make a living working about 2 hours a day.
And thank you for waking up at 5 p.m. to do this podcast. I really do appreciate you getting up early for me. I really do appreciate it.
What you're doing now is you're mocking me.
Well, I'm making fun with you of your late habits. I don't mind. I wake up at 12. You think that's as early as my friends at home?
My normal time that I get up is between 2 and 3.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm not mocking you.
But then all night I'm working on the computer, editing, and
I have the same thing. I work late at night. People are like, how can you sleep till 12? I'm like, because I was up till 3:30.
Well,
usually getting high and watching Family Guy.
I'm usually
working
up until 9 in the morning.
Jeez. Wow. Have you always done that schedule?
No, but I'm just, it seems like I'm editing the podcast, like talking to people for research for the podcast. It's like my feeling is either you throw everything and you try everything you can to get ahead,
yeah,
or you sell yourself short.
Yeah. And, no, you've always worked really hard.
And the one thing that
the tapes you've always had here.
The thing that I see is I see the success of someone that works hard.
Yeah.
And I'm lucky enough to have seen Kimmel up close. That guy's the hardest fucking working guy ever. And, you know, and he never openly, oh, fuck you, complains about it. Yeah. He always keeps an even head. I don't know how he does it. You know, and right now he's going crazy. He's got that 11
moving to 11:30. That's such a big thing. That's finally competing.
He's going across the country, going to all these small markets to talk to the people.
And why were they at 11, 12? Could Nightline?
Originally, yes.
And so the Nightline, they found out invested in Al-Qaeda, and so they had to get rid of them.
What?
They were big donors to Al-Qaeda. Nightline, the producers, all the people associated.
So they just moved it to 12:30.
Yeah, so like, let's just move it back. It's not fair anymore. Because then they looked at Jimmy, I heard, and they noticed they didn't find any donations to Al-Qaeda in his records. So they're like, all right,
By the way, just so you know,
yeah,
I have nothing to do with this mumbo-jumbo that Ari is saying right now. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, we did the research. We accounted it.
Who's we?
You know who.
Who?
We did the accounting work.
Oh.
The group.
Those people.
Yes, you refer to them as those people. And we found a lot of links to Al-Qaeda through Nightline, so they had to move it behind the guy who had no links to Al-Qaeda.
Okay, it's interesting as I'm listening to you make your statement, as you're going to call it,
yeah.
I'm going back to thinking about the power of the podcast. Media.
Oh, uh-huh.
Well, the power of the podcast.
Yeah.
Like the person that got on me. And I think the reason the Brody thing's fresh in my mind is because Brody tells people online what's going on between
so
the two.
So then they harass
me. They harass me. And it happens constantly.
I hate that shit. I hate that, like, fans act on behalf of me.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit. It's just bullying.
Absolutely.
It's just like, look, I have a strong hand so I can punch you. It's the same shit.
Well,
I've got 100,000 followers. I can have them all mock punch you.
I mean, and they're mean.
Crap.
I thank God on Twitter.
They don't know the line.
Thank God on Twitter, most of these people that do it, they've got maybe 130 followers, and they send it to me, and I can just not
reply.
Retweet it, or reply.
Yeah.
But
what do they send you?
Well, first of all, if I may say this, just to catch people up and to catch you up, I don't know, you were one of the first times that I confronted him on one of the Big Three podcasts.
On the old Ace Network.
Right.
Yeah, before you had the real network.
Right.
Simply Don, the podcast network.
And when you were there, it was...
I mediated.
And you were great. I mean, you were really great. People still talk about that.
About how I was, really?
Because every time that you've made an appearance on the Big Three podcast, people have loved it. And you have had powerful appearances.
Yeah, I was really hoping to, when I heard Mole was going to leave, thank God he came back, I mean, first and foremost, but when I heard he left, I was hoping I could get in there and be that replacement.
For those of you that don't know, which probably are most of you people, because you have such a huge following and nobody listens to my show by comparison, I have a show that we deal with a very special person that we kind of...
Scary Perry Caravello.
Right.
Based on the movie Windy City Heat.
Well,
based on the...
We see, in all honesty, Windy City Heat is just a chapter of the Perry Project, because we've been doing it for over 20 years.
So this is also just a chapter of the Perry Project.
Right.
Wow. But interesting. People like it. People really like it. It's way more of a soap opera than any other podcast I know of.
Right. And that's what we try to do. But anyway, to kind of bring it all together,
I've been on the Perry podcast, but you've also liked my appearance with Brody.
Right. Oh, we were going back
mediating.
To that. No, but you came on the podcast the last time, and we were trying to replace one of the characters, and this Perry guy, you know, who all he cares about is money, was very impressed with you. Because
I had a fiscal plan, man.
As a Jewish accountant type of guy, you had a way to make a lot of money, and he fell in love with you. And it was just great.
I came in here with a suit. I was ready to get that job, cufflinks and suspenders.
Well, it's like I've told you many times in private.
Yeah.
You, for me, are one of the best people to play with or improvise with over at the club.
Store, thanks, man.
You really are. I mean, there's people that are fun, they do this, but you always get it.
Yeah.
You always know where to go, and not many people are. But that's the reason you've got your 60,000 listeners.
You taught me once something, and we were lap dancing somebody right when I started. I'm just remembering this now. We were lap dancing this girl. You brought a girl on stage. You always used to be able to get women to come on stage, audience members. I don't know how. And sometimes they would, like, you would take it to the level of, like, where you think you could, whether it be, like, you know, flash your boobs to the crowd, or just, like, rub, you know, my shoulders or whatever. So we were, anyway, somewhere in between there, we were having a lap dance competition.
You know where I got that?
No, where? Asparagus?
No. Well, Freddie Asparagus, a great improv teacher, taught me a lot. But he was like a good actor. I mean, so he wasn't a teacher. But working at the Tropicana, the Hollywood Strip Tropicana, club. Well, actually, it was a mud wrestling palace, as I used to call it.
Sorry, the Tropicana mud wrestling palace.
Yeah, we've talked about this on the show before, but it's just like I learned more about women there than anything. And it just, there are limits.
Yeah.
But if you can read it in
a
woman.
You can coax them too.
Yeah, you can go to as far as you can. And that's what my whole comedy act's about. Go to a line and never really cross it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do. Anyway, yeah. you were saying. So
we were lap dancing, and then, like, you did something where maybe you might have taken your junk out, or you might have taken your shirt off. It was some level above what I was willing to do. Maybe you got really, really in her face and really, like, motorboarded yourself with her face. Something like that. It was something like...
You see, I'll tell you, everything you say, I don't think I might act like I take my penis out. I've never taken my penis out.
Something
you do on a regular basis.
That is true, but the fact that you've never taken out is not true. I've seen you when you wore sweat shorts.
I have been around for approximately 11 years. And I have never seen him pull his junk out on stage.
He will wear his panties,
and I've seen your balls have been...
Oh, well, sure, my balls are out all the time. My balls are not in question.
Okay, but I'm just saying, reproach. I never crossed that line.
I have seen your dick in the back hallway before.
That's a different place. Okay, that is not on stage.
You're right. It might not have been on stage, but you used to get him out through the bottom of your sweatshorts real easily.
And, well, that wasn't...
But you were
on
doing
purpose.
Something to this girl above what I was willing to do. I think I was 2-3 years in, so maybe I was willing to, like, sort of table dance in front of her, and you were able to get on her lap and really grind her, you know? Something along those lines. Not overboard at all. She was loving it. But I was like, how do you know, like, where to go? And you said something like, wherever the last line is, if no one's reacted badly, you just go further.
Yeah.
You just go even further and see what happens.
Well, I'll tell you, I've said this almost on every podcast. Thank God for the Comedy Store. What a place to improvise and do things that you can't do at any other comedy club in the world.
Yeah, no pressure environment, especially late night. Yeah. The only thing I've ever had, even about my balls out, I try not to take the shaft out. It's only special occasions, Yom Kippur and such. But
how many days of Yom Kippur are there?
Just one. Starts at night, ends in the sundown. So 25 hours.
That's so cool.
So cool. So rad, bro. Yom Kippur. But the only way they've ever stopped me from pulling my balls out is one time Tommy yelled, "It's not even midnight!" And that's sort of like, all right, that seems fair. And then one other time, I was on after Mencia once, and in the main room, this is during the heart of, like, the war where he's still coming after all that shit happened. And they said, "You're going after Mencia." And I was like, "No, I'm not going on when that guy's in the room. I just refuse." But then I was like, "You know what? I want to see what kind of intro he gives me." I'm like, "I'll go on. I'm just not going to say anything." And so he gave me this nice, flowery, long introduction. And then he like introduced me and then started what I would do. I was like, "Hey, everybody, I'm not going to do any material because he's here watching. So I'm just going to do 15 minutes of silence." And then
I remember when he was in the back and he came up to me and said, "Whoa, that band is something spectacular." And then, like, within, like, a couple weeks is when they canceled The Mind of Mencia.
Yeah.
And I was kind of glad because I started thinking, that's going to end up on that show.
That's the problem with guys like that. Eventually, you just don't trust that it won't. It's like a waiter who won't write down your order. You're like, "I just don't believe you're going to get it right." Anyway. But, yeah, so somebody was like, "Could you at least take your balls out?" Somebody had already seen me. I was like, "That I can do. I don't believe that thing is public domain. Absolutely." And I heard Tommy go, "It's the main room. No, not the main room."
Okay, I'll tell you the Brody shit.
All right, for God's sake. Thanks.
If you're going to keep driving, my God, you're a good interviewer. Wow. No, just a long time ago, I always feel let down by Brody. I've done a lot of things for him. Yeah. I've helped him out with jobs, things like that. He's never done it, and he's never admitted he's wrong about anything to me. You know, and he's done some things. And it's so it's always been in the back of my mind.
By the way, for subtext on this, if you listen to my podcast number, maybe 17, the one on warm-up comedians, you can hear a lot of Don Barris, Brody going back and forth fighting. But anyway, back to this. It's always been in your mind. That's just a proof of that. So go ahead.
Yeah, and it's just, but when he went to the hospital, I really felt very sad.
Yeah.
And every time I talked to him, I said, Brody, you're my best friend in comedy, because everything he was going through, I mean, I have no idea, but those drugs must really fuck with you.
Oh, they mess with your mood.
Oh, and it just like, because he would just start crying. And yeah, I'd see him run into people that would just listen to him talk about the same thing and thought, this poor son of a bitch. So every time I'd see him, I'd try to be nice, and he'd still do things that are just like, what are you doing that for?
But like
I'd walk into the original room.
Yeah.
And in his mind, even though I hadn't done it, he thought I was going to interrupt him.
Right.
And so he'd get off on a whole tangent about
how he's being interrupted all the time.
Yeah.
Even though you hadn't even done it yet.
I hadn't done a thing.
Right.
Because I was in the point of, all right, no fucking with him, no matter what.
Yeah.
And you know,
seems to find you, though.
Well, I will be very honest. I talked to Sarah Silverman after his whole thing happened. She was at the club one night. And I said, I think he's really sorry for what happened. And she said, I'm just so proud that he's getting up already.
But and did really, you say it all cutesy?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, but yeah.
And that...
I'm so proud he's getting up already.
He's already getting back up on stage and doing it. It just makes me feel so good. And I really start thinking, my God, a lot of people are pulling for this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's
one good thing that came out of it. A lot of people, he realized how many people were like fans of his as a person.
But he's still in the mode of like, oh, God, I just nothing. I'm, you know, and he'd cry, and it's like, oh, my God. So I never was any, I was never bad to him at all. And then I went to, and recently when Jimmy Kimmel, we took the show to New York.
For the hurricane.
Right. I was in there in the hurricane, and it was kind of fucked up because here you are in New York. I remember going down by where the World Trade Center was, and it was all blocked off because it had flooded.
Wow.
And there was no power there. So, I mean, you couldn't see anything. It was just, in some ways, a really terrible trip. And I'm jonesing so much for going on stage because...
Oh, there's nowhere you can just go late at night all the time.
Yeah. And I couldn't perform. So I literally, Mary Jane and I, she picked me up. We came right from the airport to the Comedy Store so I could go on.
And went on stage?
Yeah. And I was going on. Tommy, of course, forgot that I was supposed to go on.
Yeah.
And my name wasn't on the list. So he said, don't worry, you can go up right after this person. So I waited, and then Brody was like, oh, I think I might go on. I don't know, I don't want to go on. So he did all this stuff. Then with the guys that had told me earlier that I was up next,
yeah,
Brody came up and said, well, I think I'm going to go on. I go, really, Brody? Okay.
What do you mean, before you?
Before me.
Okay.
I go, okay, go right ahead. You deserve it, for God's sake. And this is, he had skipped a spot. He had done another spot earlier at another place. And I was just so mad at him.
But he was on the list, and so he wanted...
No, he wasn't on the list.
Oh, yes, Mary Jane.
I will say Brody was in his really pouty baby mode. Because around him for 15 minutes, and he was like, I don't want to go up. I didn't... Like, nobody even
cares
knew
about
he
all
was
this?
In the count.
Who cares about it?
Yeah, this was a month ago.
Okay, because it was the final straw for me.
Oh, right. So then you were like,
I have no feelings. I've been nothing but nice to you. You've done nothing for me ever.
Yeah. So you wrote him off.
So I just said, hey, Brody, you know what? I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I think you're selfish. I said a few things like that. don't worry, I'm not going to bug you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to leave you alone.
Yeah.
Well, he turned it on the Twitter people. They came down on me, and it's just ridiculous. And so I literally, so Red Band had us on the secret show, they're calling it, at the Comedy Store, to hash it out. And I thought that was cool. And I don't know the girl's name, but she was pretty funny. I guess she's a regular at the Laugh Factory. A
female comic.
Black comic.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I think it was episode 2 of the Secret Shows. Maybe.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah,
that's it. And she was like 1,000% on my side.
Yeah.
I tell him, Brody, you got to be good to your friends.
Yeah.
And so Brody just couldn't handle it.
Oh, you both never like being told, well, I think in this instance,
no,
you're wrong.
I think if I'm wrong on something, I'll admit it. He can admit it. And that's part of the thing. I didn't want any part of him.
Yeah.
So the other day, I got him more work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
To fuck with him?
Not to fuck with him, but it works out that
fuck
way.
With him, yeah. Where'd you get him?
Somebody offered me the warm-up job over on somebody's talk show.
Jeselnik?
No.
Schumer?
No. She has one?
She has something. Whose? Who has a talk show?
Whitney Cummings.
Oh, yeah. On E! Or Oxygen?
Yeah. And it was for, actually, for tomorrow. When we're taping this on a Thursday, it was for Friday.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I had promised somebody else that I would shoot something with them.
So you couldn't do it.
And it was the only day they could shoot, and I thought, oh, I'm not going to screw this guy. And I told them, why don't you give it to Brody Stevens? Here's his number. I said, Whitney knows Brody. I'm sure everything would. So they booked him.
Oh, that's cool. It's cool of Whitney to call you, too.
Well, she didn't. I'm sure she has no idea.
Really? No, yeah. I bet she does. She might manage stuff.
I bet you she doesn't. That's my guess.
I gave her at least 50% chance that she was like, yeah, get Don Barris. I know that's a good one.
Well, what it was somebody that I've known for quite a while as a producer on the show.
Oh,
and
they
called
got
me.
It for you.
Yeah, so okay. I could honestly see.
Could be that then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whitney would have no idea that it was
She me. Could easily be like, get a warm-up guy. Sure.
Well, there was the regular warm-up guy couldn't do it.
Oh.
So they had to book some. At the most, they may have run my name by her.
Probably didn't even do that.
Yeah.
She's probably too high up to even be.
Absolutely.
Even
I mean, she's got a lot going.
Yeah, she does.
And she really does.
She's never around the store anymore.
No, it isn't.
She's come here like once in the past year.
Really?
I think, like barely. And then I feel bad talking to her because it's like she's got like 10 people that are like, hi. And I just like, if you want to hang out in the back, it's fine, or in the front. But, you know, I hate trying to get people's attention.
I'd never do that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason.
Sean Penn came in yesterday.
To the Comedy Store?
Yeah, and it's so weird meeting famous people when you don't know them.
Oh, like, you met them?
He's standing nearby me, and I'm talking to like people he's with, and then it's like I notice he's there, but I can't be like, hi, I'm Art. I start getting hyper, like realistic. Like, how would I act if it wasn't a person I recognize? Would I even say hi to him? Would I even be looking at him? Or would I definitely say hi? I don't know. And then I just keep focusing on the one guy until I have to like just leave. I just walk away.
Yeah, that's...
It's just uncomfortable. If I don't get introduced, it's like, oh.
Right.
I
know exactly what you mean.
Do you have to say, I've seen your work? Do you have to say, like, what are you supposed to say?
Well,
or just refuse that, like, oh, cool shoes, or hi.
It's kind of funny, because at one point, there was a lot of people that had seen Windy City Heat, that celebrities that kept coming up.
Yeah.
And it was like, one night, Ben Stiller, he was at Jimmy Kimmel, and wanted to meet with us.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what do you say to him?
Yeah, I don't know.
What do you say? And he was
like, what you say to him.
What?
You say, so was this all because you were Jewish? Or was there any other reason?
You don't think he's funny?
I just think he's put up a lot of bombs. Like, when's the last time he put up something that you were really into?
I thought that, what's that Thunder movie?
Tropic Thunder?
Oh, what'd I say?
The Thunder movie. You were close. No, I wasn't making fun of you. I was making fun of the movie.
Right. Oh, I love that.
Love that movie?
I loved it. I thought Jack Black.
Jack Black was great.
Phenomenal.
What was Ben Stiller in it?
He was doing his role.
Oh, was it when he was acting out with the whole play?
He thought he was the movie star, and he was doing all that.
He does two roles. He does Flabbergasted or Super Asshole. That's almost always.
Well,
And I guess he's better at flabbergasted. Like, analyze this or whatever the movie is.
I've never seen those.
Not, you know, Meet the Parents, I mean.
Yeah, the world's against him type.
And then in Curb Enthusiasm, he's just the asshole. It was like overboard. It was just like, I don't
well,
know.
Well, I'll tell you
anyway,
this.
But go ahead.
But you know what?
Yeah.
By the way.
He is a movie star.
Have you seen any of Zach Galifianakis's Between Two Ferns?
Yeah, you were raving about him. I've seen a couple of them.
I one night just watched about 15 of them.
Really?
And I'm telling you. And Ben Stiller was great on that. He was not good.
Great.
He was great.
I'll watch that. I mean, I'm waiting to see something that I was like, dude, Ben's fuck yeah.
And I loved his show.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, but that was a good show.
All right, that was a great show.
That was
show.
A good show.
I think there's, you know, what... So you're going to say you don't think there's any... Obviously,
there's
something.
I just think it's
something.
Been a while. I think it's been a long while that until I've seen
Tropic
that guy...
Tropic Thunder. How long ago was that?
No, I'm not counting that.
You
that
don't like that?
The movie was like, bleh. It was just kind of like, eh. The whole movie wasn't really that good. It was just, eh.
But you compare everything to Schindler's List.
Yeah, it's not as good, man. I don't see the redemption. I don't... It's the black and white with the one color dress wasn't there.
Yeah, the one... The red.
Yeah.
Right.
Who was that girl? By the way, here's what I just realized right now.
What's that?
That girl who played that was probably some actress. She is probably 25 now, in between 25 and 30, somewhere in that range. I'm going to try to fuck that girl. That girl who wore the red dress in Schindler's List. That would be a great pull.
You know, that would be.
I don't know. She's got to have credits.
IMDb.
Yeah.
You know, the last person that told me something like that
said what?
That said, you know, I could go out, and I think I'm going to meet this person, and I'm going to fuck them.
Who was that?
Lindsay Lohan
said it about.
No, Lindsay Lohan. That you said it about you. Yeah, Lindsay Lohan was talking about you. No. Duncan was saying that about Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, no, you can't. That's right. He's like, I could do it, man.
And like, he was
all,
like,
you couldn't even get to the club she goes to.
Right.
Second of all, she would never go for you.
And what happened to him?
He has dick cancer.
Yeah, well, ball cancer.
Ball cancer, yeah.
So, you shouldn't make a statement like that. Take back your statement about...
Of trying?
Wanting to
full circle it. Let's full circle it. I was listening to some Florence and the Machine the other day. You know that band?
Yes, I do.
Have they been on Jimmy Kimmel?
I believe they have.
I got to get the list. I got to start going watching music down there because Feist was so cool watching Feist. That
I'll
was awesome
this.
On the outdoor stage.
They're having first show back. They're having No Doubt.
I could take that or leave it. No, they were great, especially in college. I loved them, but I'm not that into them anymore. But that's a good band. That's big, too.
No Doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No Doubt. So full circle, I was looking at that videos of her, and some of the videos, she's really hot, Florence.
Right.
And I was like, how old is she? 26. I'm like, wow, that's my range. I'm like, I wonder, wouldn't that be awesome? I had this fantasy in my head, and then I made some tweet joke about it, and everybody wrote me, she's already got a boyfriend. You know who that is?
Oh.
Sean Penn.
Really?
Full circle!
Right. Right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit briefly, if we can,
about Brody. All right,
no,
I thought you
no,
got
I
the
think,
story.
I think we're done with the Brody parts now. I want to see this girl. 1993, so that was 20 years ago. So this girl might be too old for me now.
What year was that?
1993. Schindler's List came out.
And she was how old then?
I don't know. I got to find out.
So
but
it's almost
20 it's
years
almost
20, ago.
19 years ago.
So she might be 28, 29.
Maybe I don't know if she was like an 8-year-old or a 15-year-old. I don't know what.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ages.
I'm just saying, you're talking between 26 and 35.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ever going to do it, you got to do it soon.
Right
so
now.
You're not doing a 40-year-old.
Yeah. I did it with someone my own age the other day. It was disgusting.
Who?
This girl. So let's talk
about that girl?
No, let's talk about your road rage.
What are you talking about?
Okay, well, let's talk about driving.
Okay, I was hit the other night, if that's what this is coming to.
That's not the end result of this, no.
All right. And it was not my fault. I know everyone will probably say it is my fault.
I love the, by the way, that credits on here. And Beth Davids, Margaretza Gebel, Shmuel Levy, Mark Evanier. Okay,
you're looking
yeah.
up the Schindler's List credits, right?
Yeah. But, So, yeah, you got hit the other night.
I was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was with Mary Jane and fellow ding-donger, Aiko Tanaka. And waiting in a red light, and I saw a car coming, and I thought, this is not going to stop. And even though it was a red light,
yeah,
I just kind of floored it because I thought, you know what? I'm going to try and get away from it.
Yeah.
They're not stopping. And
where was this? On Sunset?
La Brea and Willoughby.
And Willoughby. So you were on La Brea.
I was on La Brea.
She
going
was coming
south.
From behind you. Out of coming from behind. So just not seeing it was red, just speeding away right. in your lane.
Right. And I saw I'm screwed. So I felt, I know that I was moving, but it was wet, so the tires were spinning a little bit.
Yeah.
And hit us. But I was told, like, if we would have had a car in front of us, and I would have been there, and it would have come like that.
Would have, like, what's that instrument called?
The you're moving your arms
you're
open
moving your
and
arms
shut.
Up and down, and you play a piano on accordion. Yeah. Yeah. Accordion.
Accordion?
Yeah, you would have crumpled like an accordion.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd say it right away.
Michael might have gone through the front windshield, too.
Oh, wow.
Well, you are always supposed to, if that happens, you just lift your foot off the brake, to say the least, unless there's a bunch of cars in front of you.
But I thought, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here.
It was a hard impact.
Yeah,
I mean,
and so it still hit you pretty hard.
Yeah.
She was just going full speed. She never tried to slow down?
I know, we heard squealing. 50, we heard we heard squealing, and... what's amazing about that, I have this in my car. I had a leased car, had it 7 months, so it's a new car, and it had, I don't know what that road service is, but I mean, as
OnStar.
I'm hit.
The speaker
OnStar.
Talks.
OnStar.
The speaker immediately, you're in an, I wasn't even, it was like, who's talking to me? It was so bizarre, because someone's, are you in an accident? Is everyone okay?
Like immediately?
Immediately.
Yeah, wow. They were like, your collision sensor... has
went
alerted.
Off.
Do you need assistance? What do you need?
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, it's really
cool that it actually works.
Oh yeah.
This episode is brought to you by OnStar. OnStar, searching for you in times of need.
Do you have commercials on your podcast?
I do them in the beginning usually, but I also do some during them.
Like what?
Gamefly, Amazon. You want to earn your $50?
How's that?
We can talk about Gamefly, Amazon, or ProFlowers.
I'll tell you this. You know, you've mentioned Amazon, who I've really gotten into recently.
You have?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, perfect. Let's talk about that one then.
I wish I would have known about this for Christmas forever.
Oh, it's so great. Just, you send shit to people.
Hello? Well, it's not even sending. To get it here. All right? Oh, God, where am I going to go? Like, I know a lot of people that are into sports. So to go to these sports shops, they're all in the valley. So how long does that take you?
It takes like 2 hours to get up there in traffic sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So I just ordered these lamps.
Yeah.
And boom, 3 days later, they're here.
Yeah, it's amazing. You don't have to leave. You don't have to leave. If you don't need something right now, like you can't do it with a burger.
No.
But
you can.
You can do it with ground meat. Oh, yeah, you can do it with a burger. You can have something delivered to you.
You can do. I'm telling you, I remember thinking that the internet, when I started really kind of understanding it, when I originally got a computer, I was thinking, one day, there are going to be people that work on their computer, and they never have to leave their house.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's
and what, I think that we're in a position of that right now.
That's why everybody gets fat in WALL-E.
In WALL-E?
Yeah, the movie WALL-E.
Whoa, you're really dropping some big name movies here.
It was probably made $100 million.
Yeah, I know.
That was a good movie. That guy was
WALL-E. Animated, right?
Animated, yeah, Pixar, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it Fred Willard, the voice?
Maybe, but everybody was everybody's fat in the future on those ships because they didn't have to do anything. So they just eat and drink all day and sit on hover fucking rascals.
Yeah, they had the feeder straws and the pooper tubes, and they were stuck in these like weird lazy boys being driven.
If they fell out, they were like, uh-oh, they didn't know how to get up.
Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable. And now you don't even need to know people. Their sex life can be on the internet.
Yeah.
Everything, they can order food, they can order anything that they want.
You don't have to leave, no. It's a great time to be a paraplegic.
Well, I don't know. That's exactly
No, it's awesome.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, can we talk about you?
About
Amazon?
Oh,
Amazon. Yeah. So, you ordered shit on Amazon, you're just finding out about it?
I'm just kind of getting into it.
It's pretty rad.
Yeah.
And also, it used to, it just stopped, but it used to be tax-free in California.
Oh, really?
Up until like this year. Because they didn't have like a store in California, so you didn't have to pay state tax. So it was just like, if it was 100, it was 100. But anything over $25 is free shipping too.
Wow.
So it's just like, when you don't pay shipping, it's like, well, there's no reason. It's cheaper
Absolutely.
Than going to a store.
Absolutely.
And it's more convenient than going to a store.
Much less time consuming.
Yeah.
You feel bad for the mom and pop shops.
Yeah, I know, but sorry, your business model doesn't work as well as someone else's does.
But you know what? I guess
how bad can you feel?
They put stuff online.
Yeah, because to me, the biggest crime.
Yeah.
I mean, because what I used to love is every Tuesday.
Yeah.
And why did I love Tuesdays?
Tuesdays, because that is when the thrift stores.
No.
Tuesdays was because it's Black Night at the Comedy Store.
No.
So you could.
No. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'll make it a lot easier.
Okay.
Tuesdays is the release day.
Oh, release dates. I knew that.
Of DVDs, CDs, and all that. And I every Tuesday.
You would go to
Tower Records.
Yeah.
I mean, and at Tower Records, everything was cheaper when they first put it out. It was just like, it was the nicest, most fun place I had ever been.
Yeah.
I remember when Tower Records closed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember taking pictures of the building.
Goodbye.
Yeah. I won't even go into that closing store.
I just drove by
store.
It today. That closing store is closed.
Is it?
Going to work there, yeah.
Good.
So looking good. They didn't drive them out of business.
Yeah, they bullshit. Fuck you.
They just rented the place after they were gone.
Well, I'll tell you, that's one thing I miss more than anything, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just going through there and just browsing.
Yeah, that part is fun. Actually, I have trouble buying clothes online because I'm like, I got to try it all. I got to see how it fits exactly.
Absolutely. You know? What's the other people that... Now, do you get it because when people click in from show...
Yeah, they have to go through my website. They go to arithegreat.com.
Yeah.
And there's a big Amazon banner there.
Oh.
If you click on that, that takes you to Amazon, and then it just registers. Everything you shop for while you do that is under my... So Amazon gives me part of their cut.
Really?
Part of their cut. They give me like 5 or 6%.
Really?
Yeah, that they give me.
So I should do that for my podcast.
Yeah, if you go through my site. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, if you want to do that.
And then I could actually get a 5% discount on anything I buy because...
Yeah, I do it for myself.
Yeah.
But until you do it for your podcast, can you go through my website so that I get some...
Sure, why not?
And the way you remember is if you go to my website and bookmark it as Amazon, then you never have to remember. Then instead of clicking Amazon, it takes you to the website. One more click and you're there. So it's one extra click to support this podcast.
And what do you make on that?
What do I make overall?
Yeah.
I can make...
you're opening. That's the sound of a wallet opening.
Yeah, it sure is.
It's my Velcro. You got the Velcro.
And then...
What's that?
You know what that is? That's cold hard cash.
So how much money do you make?
I make enough to give you $50 for helping me out.
Seriously?
$50 crisp dollars.
I almost feel bad.
Nope, don't feel bad. Take that money.
Wow.
That's what comics are supposed to do.
Really?
Help each other out. I'm making some cash. Now you get some for helping.
All I do is lose money on my podcast.
Well, that's not great. Depends. The holiday season is going to be really good. You can make a few hundred bucks or even up to $1,000 if it's like everybody really gets on there.
A week or a month?
A month. But that's great for, you know, a grand. Between that and GameFly.
What's a slow month? Yeah.
It's a few hundred.
So what, like GameFly, do you get a lot from that?
GameFly gets me $15. That's like a lot. If you go to GameFly.com.
A week or a month?
Each time somebody goes to GameFly.com/Ari and signs up for a free 2-week trial. Which you're more than welcome to drop after 12 days. I don't care. I get $15.
And how many people do that?
Not so many. But if they did, I would pay for my new computer. I could like pay for shit. It's amazing. It's not even that hard. But I get it. It's like you're afraid, oh, what happens if I forget to like say no, then I get a trial, then I get a full subscription.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the worst thing though. If you play video games, it's totally worth it. GameFly is pretty rad for that.
Wow. And what's the other sponsor?
ProFlowers. ProFlowers.com.
How much you get from that?
Well, I just tell people to go when they've killed people. If they want to put flowers on the person's grave in mocking them instead of like supporting them. I don't know. That one just started. I have no idea. But all through my site. There's all those links on the right hand of my site. Let's talk about this road rage, though.
What do you want to...
Let's talk about your driving, though, is what I meant.
Are you serious?
You are the angriest driver I've ever seen. I don't like comparing things because that implies that someone else comes by and is angrier than you would be less angry. You are super, you're riled up. I'm going to say this without any judgment. I'm just trying to observe. That's what all I'm doing right now. I'm not going to make fun of you. And if I make jokes, it's not going to be at your expense. But you do get very worked up when you drive. Right? Are you not seeing any of this?
I'm you're drawing kind blanks. Of blown away.
you have this thing with, it seems to me, like, I don't know what it is. Like, you, when people cut you off, you blow a gasket. Even if they're 30, 40 yards ahead of you.
Okay, hold on for one second.
I'm waiting for you to join
hold
in.
Hold on.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, how many times have you ever even been in my car with me?
Less than 50. Probably 20, 25.
Would you say that many?
Yeah. You know, we used to go down to the pantry with Harris. You would always drive for that.
That wasn't... But that's not bad driving.
Oh, no. I'm not saying bad driving.
What I'm saying is anger, even there, because here's my deal. Mm-hmm. And I really mean this. I've realized something about myself.
Okay.
I don't even know what it's called. What do they call it? Glorophobics?
Agoraphobics?
Yeah.
And you can't go outside?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm almost borderline that.
Okay.
I mean, because...
Borderline, yeah.
I've said this before... But I even going to work, I get so worked up that it kills me. I mean, it's like there's so much stress just to me to go to get my car,
yeah.
to go to a party,
yeah.
because there's so much anxiety to go anywhere.
Being outside.
Right.
Okay.
And so when I get in the car, it's like, oh. And when people do stuff, and there's a lot of terrible drivers.
Yeah.
Terrible drivers. I try to be as courteous as I can. I would say I'm 90% courteous.
Okay.
Is Mary Jane here because you need a witness?
Mary Jane, she's here because she's always here when we record here, but I thought, hey, should I tell Mary Jane we don't need to be here? We can do it when she's at the thing. And I was like, no. Actually, this is probably a better time to keep things focused for Mary Jane to be here. So, yes, Mary Jane, you had a comment?
It seems sometimes like it might be just, I mean... Don's been a good athlete all his life. I mean, he was champion something or other with that boys playing with balls thing. And I think it's a competition. You have to be your best. You have to, you know, it's the whole driving thing is a...
It's a competition.
Yes.
When people cut you off, you will pull up, you will start honking. You will, if they don't go when the light turns green, you will lay on your horn.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration. That's
only a little bit, though. Not every time, but
Mary
you
Jane,
have done that.
Okay.
You have
I
done
am
that.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm asking you, Mary Jane.
Don, I think it's a bit of an anger problem.
Yeah, talk into the right part.
Should we talk about the anger problem in general or just the road rage? What do you mean? It's going. What's wrong?
Because I'm trying to point out that you talk directly in. Your microphone is down.
Okay.
So I'm trying to point that out.
Okay, but let's talk about
the
road stuff.
Let's talk about the mic.
Let's drop the mic talk for a minute and let's just stick with this just for a little bit. And then if we have time for the mic talk, we can get back to it. But yes, I think you're fine, Mary Jane. Dude, how has it been that way forever? Like when you were sick, when did you start driving? Don, no one's jumping on you, but you are clearly...
But you're already lying. You're making it sound like the horn at the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not,
yeah.
I personally feel,
yeah.
as I told you, I have a very difficult time. It is like unbelievably stressful, and there are terrible drivers.
Okay, these are the reasons why you acting a certain way.
All right, but what I'm saying is when you say someone... Every time at a red light, the minute it turns green, you're on the horn. That's not true.
It happens a bit, though.
You've been in my car
20
times.
Yeah.
20 times.
And I've seen maybe 6 or 7 instances.
No, you haven't.
I think it's only certain shades of the color of the vehicle.
I don't think so, because I've seen it outside the vehicle, too. You get worked up about people wronging you in some way. And it manifests the most often that I see it in the car. Because I put it out to people.
Notes.
To 6 people. I said, have you ever seen any Don Barris road rage incidents?
Okay.
Because maybe it's just me a few. So,
I'm getting out of here.
So why? Let's just talk about you're the most. Here's the deal.
I'm the most.
Here's what I get in this podcast. I have people that have some sort of expertise on something I want to talk about. And you have road rage.
Bullshit.
You've got it, Don. Let me read these and tell me if this sounds like someone who doesn't have road rage.
Okay, I'd like or to know names.
Okay, sure. I'll absolutely include names. Ryan O'Neill. I was on the phone with Barris when he was at the drive-thru, and he went apeshit on the drive-thru people for no reason. I didn't say for no reason. On them. Ryan O'Neill. Okay. Then
he's off my list of friends.
Okay, then here's one. You got out of your car on Fairfax to fight a guy. The guy punched you, so you followed him. This is from Jason Tebow. So you followed him
okay,
home.
Okay, well, let's say Jason Tebow lies about everything. First of all, you got to understand this.
Okay.
I told him that story, so him telling it, he's bullshitting right there. He did not see that.
No, he just said you got out of a car.
Okay, well, he doesn't.
So why don't you tell me this one then, if
okay,
you told it to him?
I'll be very happy to tell you this.
Okay, sure.
All right. When I first moved here from Saginaw, Michigan, there was a guy. I was on Fairfax.
I was born in Saginaw, Michigan. Yeah.
I was born in Saginaw, Michigan. I grew up in a... Okay.
There was a guy on Fairfax.
And we're literally... It is stop and stay traffic.
Okay.
This guy hits my car because he came driving up around everybody. He went into the other lane, the oncoming traffic lane, came in and cut and hit my car.
Where, on the side?
No, in the front. Because...
can I stop you and ask for details?
Yeah. I was...
Okay.
Stay traffic. Okay, now this guy pulls up and I don't... And
no. Can I ask you for a specific detail?
Yes.
When he started to come into your lane... Did you see that?
Didn't
and
move
forward and not together?
No, because what he did is before the car in front of him moved, he came and he starts to creep in like there might have been 4 or 5 feet between the car. And I notice, and he comes up and he starts creeping in and he puts like his headlight. So now if I was going to move, I would have hit his door.
Oh, wow.
All right. I did not move at all. So what he did is then when he pulled in, he hit my front bumper with his back bumper.
As the bumper juts out a little bit from the car.
Yeah. When he tried cutting it off.
Yeah.
So I honk at him, and he gives me the finger. And I go, no, hang there. And so I get out of the car to look and see if he did any damage to my car.
Yeah.
And he gets out of the car, and he starts coming, what's going on? And I stand there, and I go, he just fucking hit. I wasn't afraid of him at all.
Yeah.
But he came up, and he just went like this, and he punched me in the face.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, this is for real. So now I get into a fighting position, but I start hearing people all around say, no, it's not worth it, dude. It's not worth it. I go, yeah, you're right. I go, okay, hey, why don't I follow you? All right. So I start following him. Now traffic's moving, and I'm following him, and I'm staying close to him, and I'm getting
mad. He refused to, like, give you insurance information and stuff?
Refused to give everything.
Okay. Did you write down his license plate?
No, because I didn't have a pen.
Okay.
Nothing. I'm trying to remember it,
yeah.
And I am trying to keep him within sight.
Yeah.
And it was at a time, it's 20-some years ago.
Pre-cell phone.
And I didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
So now I'm following him, but I will tell you, I couldn't get, because he hit me in the fucking face.
Yeah.
So I'm following him, and I say, okay, and I realize in my mind, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm following some black guy, and he's going, now we were south of Sunset. Now we get to the point where we're going side streets behind, above Sunset. And I'm like, well, this is not smart.
Following the guy who just punched you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not smart at all. But, now where you can say anger, stupidity, or whatever, pride about whatever my makeup as a person, I couldn't let him get away with that.
Yeah.
So what I did is I pissed in a super big gulp, and I went, I pulled up beside him, and I said, hey, I've changed my mind. I'm not gonna go with you, but I couldn't let it go, and I throw the cup, and literally, it hits his steering wheel.
Threw it into his window?
Threw it right into his window, hits his steering wheel, and urine goes all over the girl.
Oh, he's with a girl?
Yeah. Okay. So I slam on my brakes.
You think he was on anything?
I have no idea. But what scared me is...
You slammed on your brakes to let him
slam
go.
Slam on my brakes so he's still going.
It's a good tough flight move. Not tough flight, Top Gun move.
Yeah. Well, so now I turn down a road and I see him getting out of the car going to his trunk. And I've watched some of those movies where they hide things in their trunk, like weapons. So now I'm really like, uh-oh. And you know where Rock and Roll Ralph's is?
Uh-huh.
All right, that's on Sunset. I'm coming down that street where Rock and Roll Ralph's would be on my left-hand side.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now as I come down there, there's a stop sign, but there's a line of cars.
Uh-oh.
And I see him now coming down that street behind me. So what I do is I come down and I am able to pull into that little, not a mini mall, but there was like...
Big Mama's Pizzeria is there.
Not Big Mama's, but Raphael's or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they, at the time, they had a flower shop. So I cut through that little parking lot and I'm going to come up. But now it has going out, it has do not drive over, severe tire damage.
Oh, no.
So I pull into a thing and I run into the flower shop and I go, hey, listen, can I call the police? There's a guy that's following me and I think he might have a gun. So they're, sure. So I get on the phone. As I'm getting on the phone, he's coming to the door of the flower shop. And almost like one of those movies, he's like, sees me and then opens the door and comes in. Whoa. And I go, and he's here right now. Like I'm talking to the police.
Were they on the phone yet?
No.
Okay.
So he just goes out and leaves. That's the story he told. And how does that make me psycho in any way? How does that make me wrong? Was I upset? Yes.
Uh-huh. I didn't say you're a psycho.
Well.
Also, but pissing in a cup.
Okay.
Is one possible way.
Well.
But I didn't say you're psycho. It's just this general, like, sort of rage that you have on the streets.
Well, that's the reason I don't like going on the streets. I don't like to do anything.
Yeah. When did that start?
Like, since I moved out here.
So when you were driving in Michigan, you were like calmer?
Yeah.
You think so?
Because first of all, where I lived, you know, you go out here at 3 o'clock in the morning on the freeways, they're packed. In Michigan, no one is even there.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing when you go to another place, you're like, what? I can't even find something to eat.
Right. And so, and I've always been kind of a night person, but there was a lot of things open. You know, in Michigan, where there aren't so many 24-hour places around here. But still, there's never any traffic.
So you weren't bad in Michigan?
Like
you
no.
Weren't, you weren't. And then when did it start here? Immediately?
I don't know.
Do you think like, you eased into it? Did anybody notice? I mean, have you had any other confrontations with people while you're driving?
I'm not mentioning anything else.
Why?
Because.
All right, well, let me read another one. Maybe you can comment on that. This is from, you didn't hear it from me. Some kids spit on your car or you spit at theirs or something and you got out of your car to confront them. Did that happen?
I'm sure it did.
Mary Jane, you have something to say?
Mary Jane, you can't talk anymore.
I don't know who that is, and that's not me.
Yeah, you that's not you. It's not you. Yeah,
who is it?
I believe I was in the car.
Who is it?
You were there, yeah.
I believe it was Father's Day.
Yeah.
Or some form of a holiday. I really believe it was Father's Day.
See, the pressure of the holidays
and
gets to me.
There was something.
All right,
we're
I'm
in
done.
The valley.
What do you mean you're done? Would you stop, Don?
No, because
why?
This is. I'm not going to be
not
lynched.
We're not attacking you.
Yes,
we're not
you
lynching
are.
You.
Okay, because I'm on your side.
But these are things. These are you get into confrontations. I'm not trying to say it's bad.
Okay,
this is not illegal.
But I'm telling you this. Someone most of the times, it's me not pussing out.
So let's hear about this.
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? Yes. Because I should be a guy, I'm a freaking adult, and I fucking hate going outside as it is.
Yeah.
I really do. And when I'm out of my comfort zone, and I'm telling you, the road, I wish I had a driver.
Yeah.
Because I can't take it, because people are fucking assholes. I do know this. Are you talking about the time on the phone, and you were on the phone?
No.
That's another time? What was that time?
No, that
okay.
I don't know. I would have no idea about that.
What was that time?
Okay, these fucking kids.
Yeah.
Were crossing at a green light. It was a red light, but it was now turned green.
They were on their feet.
They're on their feet.
Yeah, pedestrians, yeah.
And so what they do is they Now it's green.
What, do they walk slower?
They stopped.
They stopped completely.
They stopped completely. And I beep.
Yeah.
They throw something at my car. They spit on me. So now I go around and I go, what the fuck's going on? And I literally...
You go around means you got out of your car.
I got out of my car. Okay. I went around the block because I didn't want... It was on Highland.
Okay.
And I got out. And so these people tried coming over attacking me because there's three of them.
Yeah.
All right. So the one guy, I just grab and I go, stop it. And I kind of shake him.
They're
and
a big
I
think, guy.
And it
intimidating.
Everybody stopped. But there was some... And Mary Jane was on the phone mm-hmm. at this time.
She's like, hello, hello. What's going on?
Yeah, I just heard a bunch of craziness, and then there was a dramatic hang-up, and I was even afraid to call back.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what intersection it was, so I was just stunned for about 20 minutes. But he knows the rest of it.
Yeah, so then how did that resolve itself? They just left?
No.
Oh.
I go, okay, I'm calling the police. So this little fucking girl tries to take my phone from me. Well, I keep the phone. And I go, get away. Get away from me. I'm telling you, I'm warning you, get away, or I will press charges against you.
Yeah.
You threw shit at my car. Well, she spit at me. She spit in my face.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. But she kept trying to get my phone. So I took her phone. I go, listen, I'm going to smash this fucking phone. And she starts punching me. And I take it because she's a girl.
Yeah.
And the two guys did nothing. So that's what I thought you were talking about. And then eventually what I did is I did call the police, and because that's bullshit. Now, should I have done that? No, because it's idiotic.
But what's going through your mind when someone does cut you off or someone does do something where you feel
like... Well, let's go right there. Let's go with those feelings.
Uh-huh. What, yeah.
Yeah, well, because, you see, I have not had it easy. I work my fucking ass off, and I always have. If somebody's going to damage my car, I'm going to protect my car. That's the stupid part, and I fight to not do that anymore. Like, was I mad at that girl that night, the girl that hit me?
No, you were nice.
You have been way calmer about it.
She had blood gushing out of her face.
I remember when you said once somebody hit you a while before or something like that, or your car got hit, and like, see, I'm trying to be a nice guy, and this is what happens. And I was like, yeah, but your car would have gotten hit either way.
You're nice guys afterwards. It's because I was nice.
Yeah, you have been a lot calmer lately. It seems like you saw, who died, Patrice or somebody, where you're like, I gotta calm down. Something happened with somebody. Something happened with somebody where you're like, I gotta calm down.
No. It's just I understand this. I'm an adult. And I just got to stop.
Yeah.
Because, like, at the Comedy Store, when someone would fuck with me, I wouldn't take it.
Yeah, you'd always fight back. It's like a prison there.
You gotta,
like, show people you're not to be fucked with.
Right. And I remember there's one guy that came up, and he was kind of a squirrely guy. Now, I had talked to his girlfriend, and his girlfriend really liked me. But he wasn't there. So she was just really enjoying my show, so to speak.
Yeah.
And he came in, and he was like, sit your fucking ass down.
Whoa.
And he was like just so mean. So he doesn't do anything. So now I realize, and I'm, hey, I don't want to cause any problems. I'm sorry. And I immediately went to that. I mean, I wasn't a prick.
What do you mean enjoying your show, so to speak?
I was including her in the show, and she was liking it.
Okay.
What were you going to say, Mary Jane?
I think it was like, might have been a version of the band, and she hadn't come up on stage to dance, but she had loved everything.
I think she was ready to go, and she was almost going to do it.
Yeah, okay, audience members do that all the time.
And then, right, and it's just part of the fun. And I'm not,
you said sorry, I didn't mean to do anything.
Right, and I didn't mean to, so this guy stays there. Then as he gets up, he goes, so I don't say anything else. He's sitting there. She's enjoying it. He's not. But nothing is being said. He comes up, and he's just a little squirrel, man.
Yeah.
Just a fucking squirrel. And so he says to me, as he gets up and they're leaving, he goes, yeah, I got to get away from some faggot. I go, really?
Yeah.
What was going on? In my mind, it's like, are you that stupid? Because your girlfriend probably would have fucked me. I'm the faggot. I'm a faggot. So he comes up and he tries to, hey, and I meant no harm by this.
He said that?
No, I said that to him. I said, really, I mean no harm. I mean, I literally, I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah.
And he comes up, and I offer my hand, and he takes my hand, and he tries to show power. So I just, by squeezing my hand real hard. So I just take his hand, and I go, don't do that. It would be a real mistake. And I start showing him power. And so he tries to escape. And then some way, he got a lucky thing where he turned, and he turned my thumb.
Yeah.
And it's like, I did nothing, but now I have a swollen thumb.
Because of this guy.
Because of this guy. Now, I literally, the reason I had his hand, because if he was going to do anything else, I thought he was going to throw something at me earlier, too. So I was ready, like I had his hand, but I had my fist ready to punch him in the face if he made one move.
Yeah.
Then I could just pull him in and do that. That's what I was doing. So I don't...
If I remember correctly, it was like the guy came up really creepy, like he was going to punch John.
Yeah, that happens late night at the
store. Because there's three or four other guys in the band, and everybody was
like...
It's
also late night. There's a lot of coke that goes around.
And not through me.
Drunk. No, not through you, but I'm just saying.
I don't do
like,
it. I mean, but, don't, but again, I'm crazy. Now you're saying I do coke.
But
admit, I don't do drugs at all.
No, you don't.
And I don't drink.
No, you never drink.
No, so... I think, and I try.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Yeah, it's not like something you have to, I'm trying to hide. I'm just saying, at that time of night, a lot of people come in on coke.
Right. Okay.
At 1 a.m. It's like people aren't really their normal selves. They're drunk a lot.
Well, and that's today's show. That
no,
was fun.
That's not today's show. How many times have you thrown something in someone else's car from your car? Or thrown something at their car? Have you done that a lot?
No. No, I haven't.
What's, like, how many times would you say?
Zero.
Even the, what about the piss? The cup, piss cup.
All right, well, there's one.
So that's the only time?
That's the only time I'm going to say.
Don, just share these things.
Because I don't know. I don't have a fucking record.
Okay.
And I've fucked these guys that fucking reported to you, too.
How about, but didn't you get, right, somebody outside, like, Barney's Beanery, where some guy pulled in front of you? I remember you guys all talking about this once, but I barely remember the story. You got out of your car and slammed on his hood.
No.
Something along those lines.
Absolutely
something
not.
Happened right outside Barney's Beanery?
Absolutely not.
Nothing happened outside Barney's?
I've never driven to Barney's Beanery.
Outside, in that area.
Okay. No. Absolutely not. Why would I drive to Barney's Beanery?
It would go a lot better if you just share some of this stuff.
Because whoever
not in Barney's Beanery. There's a street that runs in front of it and on the side of it.
Right.
Outside Barney's Beanery.
No.
Is that?
Never happened.
Okay.
Never happened.
Can you think of any other types of road rage incidents that you could share?
I remember. Okay, here's one. There's a guy that was driving down the wrong side of the street, coming right at me. Oh. Now he quickly turns into his lane. He goes by, and then he looks at me and he gives me the finger.
Yeah.
And I say, "Why you?" And then I drove on.
Yes, Mary Jane.
I have a road rage story.
I'd love to hear it.
The night that Brody rudely bumped Dawn, and he was a
all right,
about
all right,
it.
Yes.
He brought
let's hear the road rage stuff.
So I'm
wait a minute. It's all
I'm trying to stay on this subject.
I'm going there. I pick up Dawn at the airport.
Yeah.
Okay, from Brooklyn, the whole thing, and he's happy. He's tired. You know, we got to go straight to the Comedy Store to get the spot, and I'm a good driver. For the most part, I used to be more riled up than I am now, and I'm driving up La Cienega, and a car did cut me off. There was traffic, you know, it's like that, and I was about to miss the red light, and I got aggravated,
yeah,
kind of cussed a little, did a little honk, and jerked around into another lane to make the light, and you know what Don did?
What?
He said very calmly to stop and don't do that, and that car was correct.
Thank you. That's a great story. So what I was thinking is that they had the right of way, and I was trying to calm you down. That is a great story.
Which somehow
here's the problem. When you're trying
rage.
To get over in traffic, you have to cut somebody off. You've got to get over. And so some people
wait a second, but I
let them in. And other people,
Mary Jane, did I say anything bad?
No, you were. It was like he was an angel.
I'm not saying you do this every time. I'm not
Thank
saying you've
you.
Never allowed someone in your lane.
Thank
I'm
you.
Just want to talk and share about this stuff.
I'll tell you another road rage story.
But a real one, Don. Not a fake one like that.
That's not a fake one.
I don't care about you. I'm talking to Don.
Okay.
All right, this is a real one. All right? I'm on Santa Monica going eastbound.
Yeah.
And there's traffic. And nobody's moving. It's just crazy traffic. So there's somebody coming up, and I let them in, and I let them go through the traffic. They beeped and they waved, and it was Cameron Diaz.
I remember one time when we were at Taco Bell, or one of the taco places, and you went up to get more water for your cup from the free refill jar, and by the time I turned around, I don't know how it happened, but you were throwing a glass full of ice at another person. I would like to know the mentality behind how that goes down.
Okay, I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Okay. It was a big moment for my life.
Okay.
It was very unique. I'm starting to think that this is not unique for you. How many times have you gotten out of your car?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, can you know of any other instances like that? I just like to talk about it. I just want to talk about it, Don. Please don't fight.
I'm not fighting. I don't know what you're talking about.
You have so much road rage. We've laughed about this numerous times in the store.
I don't find it funny.
But we've laughed about it, you and I.
I can't believe that I'd laugh because I don't find it funny. And here's what happens.
Do you want to like correct them? Do you want to let them know? When you pull up next to somebody and start yelling at them, do you want them to know what they did wrong? Like what are you trying to get through to them? I'm going to leap to the point where it's just assumed that you overreact a lot. You react more than most people react a lot. I hate trying to choose every single word carefully because you're afraid it's going
to
be an insult to you.
It is an insult.
I'm not
to
insulting
me.
You. You
it
have road rage when you drive.
No, I don't.
You drive. You have more than anyone I've met.
Okay, maybe.
Okay. So let's not call it road rage. Let's say you are angrier on the road. Or you have more confrontations on the road than anyone
okay,
I know.
Okay, I've explained it to you.
Yes,
you I have think to it's think. Very unfair that you're trying to take it to another level.
I'm just trying to hear
but
about it.
But it's not. It's not. What it is this. I have said to you, I have a real hard time leaving my frickin' apartment.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And when somebody does something, I may say something. I may feel it because I'm so wound up as it is.
And then
so it may come. Absolutely.
And then do you want to like make them understand how they were wrong? What are you trying to get when you confront them?
Because
or is it just blind rage?
No, it's not blind rage.
Okay.
If somebody, okay, a perfect example. Oh, fuck. I hate you. I wish
be
you were
better if you would just share this stuff.
I wish you
okay.
No, it wouldn't
it's
be better.
It's all right
better.
To get mad on the road. So many people do.
Okay, but you're acting like I'm an insane fuck.
I'm not. I
and
try
I'm
to
saying
hear
this.
About the stuff you do.
All right. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not going to mention names.
Okay.
Please. And I've told you this story, and I don't want you to tell the story. I don't want you to mention any names
okay, I
because
won't.
I don't want
okay,
it
I
to
won't.
Get in trouble.
I won't.
All right. I one time was leaving my job.
Okay.
Some girl, as I'm pulling out, I'm in a lane. Just
pedestrian car.
Car. Then slowing up. Didn't do anything.
What? I don't understand what
that. All right, I'm in a lane.
Yeah.
They just cut in front of me real slow.
Okay.
All right, so now the speed I'm going, I have to go in half. And there was nobody in front of that person. So what I do is I go around them.
Okay.
They do it again. This time, I give the horn like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Now it's aggravating. Their response was this.
The finger.
Just the finger out the window.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, who the fuck does this? Who the fuck does this? So now I get behind them, and they pull into a gas. Oh, and that's the end of the show.
No, go ahead. They pull into a gas station.
That's our time for today. We'll pick it up next week. I pull into the gas station.
You pulled in the follower.
I followed them into the gas.
Okay, now I'm not going to stop you, but I'm going at the end of the story. I'm going to back up to this moment because I want to know what's going through your head when you are
because
deciding,
exactly
gonna go
what you're going to say. Because what they've done is just as rude as fuck. As rude as fuck. Not once.
But twice.
Twice, they cut in front of me, and the second time, I give them the horn, and their response is, oh, fuck you.
Fuck you, yeah.
Fuck you. Oh, I can be a fucking ditz and drive like a fucking moron. Now, my personal feeling, if you're going to go slow, you stay in the right lane. The
Fitzsimmons says the same stuff, by the way.
The left lane is the passing lane.
Is the highway?
No.
Oh.
On street. Okay. It's called the passing lane. But people never do that, and there's no laws saying it. But if it is the passing lane, it's the lane that's supposed to go a little bit quicker than the slow lane.
Yeah.
I never get mad at somebody who's driving in the slower lane. Because you know what? If they have a hard time driving, I completely understand it. Because I have a hard time driving, too.
Yeah. It's tough. Especially if you had like a whole bowl or something.
But I don't
I'm
do
I'm always in the right-hand lane.
Okay. Well, that's fine. If you're in the right hand, but when you start and you start not caring about what anybody, so I just wanted to say, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
And so what I did is I pulled up beside him and I said,
at the gas station. Yeah.
I said, why don't you give me that finger again? You do that and I'll shove that guy right there inside your cunt.
Which guy? Her friend?
Yes.
I'll shove that guy inside your cunt.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And then I took off.
That's a good line. Do that again. I'll not shove the finger up your asshole. Shove that guy in your cunt. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I took off. There was no confrontation. There was nothing.
Yeah.
Well, then that haunted, then that haunted me. Because they called their friend, and their friend was someone that was friends with me, and they said, the guy from Windy City Heat just said he was going to shove Nathaniel inside my cunt.
Now, when you confront people, are you trying, like when you decide, hey, you know what? Forget where I was going. I'm going to pull over for a second. I'm going to say something to these people. What are, like, ideal way that goes? Break it down.
The ideal way it goes?
Uh-huh.
The person says they're sorry.
Like you go, hey, what the fuck? Why are you being a ditz into whatever he said? And then they go, you're right, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I should not have done that.
Okay, thank you. And that has happened numerous times. Happened the other day. Some guy, as I'm going in a lane, they just cut right in front of me.
Yeah.
I go around them. And as I get beside them, they, sorry. And I go, okay.
Yeah. It's amazing how much an apology will make stuff like
better. Absolutely.
We saw it in San Diego. Me, Tony, and Matt were down there and driving. And some guy was crossing on his feet, but it turned green when he was halfway in the three lane on each side, you know?
Right.
And so you can't go because we're waiting for this guy to cross, and he just goes, oh, that's my bad on that.
Yeah.
And immediately like, oh, well, okay.
Absolutely.
He knows.
If somebody does something, but when somebody does something assholeish,
yeah,
and then they give you the finger, and that thing turned out to be not a good thing because then other people talked about it.
And it got back to you.
Yeah, and it got back to me. And they don't hear what a fucking cunt
what an
she
they
was.
Were. They gave me the finger.
It's not even about giving the finger as much as it is about the fact you were inconsiderate once. You pulled in front of somebody and you didn't care.
Yeah.
But then they try to go around you. And as they're going around you, you pull back into that lane and do the same thing twice.
And you give them
and there was nobody in front of them.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Nobody in front of them.
What was she doing?
Just probably talking to her friend that I was going to shove up her cunt.
Oh. Yeah.
But it comes back, and you see, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
Should I do that? Absolutely not. Because in this place, you can get killed, and I understand that.
Well, my feeling is I wouldn't do it just because somebody told me this once, like, you've now invited them into your life and memory. Instead of just like eventually driving around or just taking a different street, when you're like, I'll now forget about them forever.
Well,
now you've invited me in.
We work on two different things.
Oh, absolutely.
Am I saying it's right? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Do I sometimes?
I used to get a lot of road rage, and I would never let people in. I would try to box them out.
Okay. Well, you know, I see
somebody try to pass. You know, the right hand lane where you can pass, but then there's parked cars, so you're gonna have to come back in, and everyone forgets conveniently that there's a parked car, you know, there, and they try to get back. And you're like, I know you're just trying to bypass all this traffic. I would try to block them.
Right.
So they couldn't. They try to get a little more. Nope. Try to get behind. Nope. I'll slow down, too, until they couldn't get in, until
well,
it was too late.
I don't try to do that unless they fucked with me.
Yeah.
And am I proud of it? Absolutely not. I fucking hate it.
What do you think it is that makes it? Because Fitzsimmons is the same way, where he has to explain to them they're wrong. He's got to get into it.
Because that's what it becomes.
Where it's like, but why? Yeah.
It becomes a thing of, how rude are you? Because it's almost like, I I try to be considerate of other people.
Yeah.
If, like, for instance, if I know that someone is turning right on a street and we're at a light and I happen to be in the right far lane, and now because I'm there, they can't turn in, I'll try and work in and let them go around me.
Yeah.
Right, because I know I've made a mistake. I shouldn't be blocking that lane.
Right.
And yeah.
On Fairfax, where Whole Foods is, and you can get on the right, then suddenly that's right turn turn only. And then if you're like, oh, I got to get straight.
More, even like on Sunset and La Brea.
Yeah.
You know, there's three lanes. If I'm in the right lane, but now I've passed up all this other traffic, I see that, okay, now I'm at the front of the line. But then I see that someone wants to take a right-hand turn.
So you try to get out of their way.
I've actually gone into that gas station.
Oh, really? To let them go?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I know that I'm wrong. I know that I'm wrong.
It sounds like you put a high, high level of importance on driving the correct way.
Okay. To some extent, yes. But also add to it, I'm very high strung.
Yeah.
And I try to stay away. I mean, literally, I think about it. Like on TV shows, you know, a writing gig.
Yeah.
Would I ever want a writing gig? Hell no.
Yeah.
Not because I don't think I could write and come up with ideas.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but I think that anything over 2 or 3 hours, I start getting antsy.
Yeah.
And that antsiness becomes, you know I'd become confrontational. So I just don't want to be at some place for hours upon hours.
Do you take anything for that? Is it anxiety? Is it just, what is it?
I don't. It might be anxiety. I take calm pills. I try to do that. But I just don't want to get into pills like Brody takes. Because I know this.
Yeah.
You go and you talk to somebody, and that's what they immediately do. I remember one time I was suggested that I go see somebody.
They don't all do that. Brody was in a bad state. He
okay.
needed to be on something.
All right. But what I'm... Possibly, but how do you get into that bad state? What I'm saying is, you have some problems, and they immediately give you medication. I was suggested that I go and talk to somebody.
Yeah,
they weren't like, okay, you need to do this. It was just like, hey, this person does it, I do it. It's just something that you can talk to somebody. You can get whatever you're feeling
therapist,
out.
Psychiatrist,
right?
Or whatever.
I went there within 10 minutes. They were saying, well, what I think you should do is get on this. They were giving me drugs in 10 minutes of a meeting.
Yeah.
And I said, well, is that the way it is? And I got up and left. And they tried charging me. I've never paid that motherfucker.
Yeah, I realize now you can just not pay people. And you're like, well, you didn't cancel 24 hours in advance. I'm like, no, you're not fucking billing me out of the blue for no reason. Fuck
right.
You, I'm not paying that.
Yeah.
You can't just say.
I was there 10 minutes and they tried. So I left. Oh, you're going to charge me for an hour for that meeting?
Yeah.
No way.
Just like, you didn't do your job. You were terrible. And I fucking said, keep your burger. I don't want to be here.
And my personal feeling is, I'm sure there's probably...
There are therapists who cannot prescribe medication.
Well, that's not going to help my...
They can't.
Okay, that's fine. But again, it's not going to help me in my anxiety or whatever it is.
Yeah, very well might. You're saying you want a non-drug way to do it. That's definitely a way.
Okay. I'm just saying, I just don't want to be hooked on these drugs. Because Brody, as he tries to claim, was when he went off medication that his body reacted in a crazy way. And I've seen, like, people in my Ding Dong show that are on medication. When they get off medication, they go to other things.
Yeah, but they were also... You're talking about... people that weren't really all there to begin with. Brody wasn't, before he got on the medication, he wasn't doing dandy.
Okay, but we don't, when do you know that Brody got on medication?
I don't know. It's probably,
that's exactly right. He's been doing it for years. My personal feeling is, is that.
I understand that fear. Seeing those people, but the people that are on it are, it's like if Blue Iris is on it, she didn't have much of a chance to be completely normal.
What are you saying, Mary Jane?
What I was going to say about Brody is Bushman used to come in and out of the Ding Dong show years ago, and I believe he's the one that lived with Brody in Seattle or New York for
yes.
a couple years.
He lived on the same floor.
Yeah, yeah. That was pre-medication trend.
How do you know?
Because it was before 2000.
So what?
It wasn't that common.
It was around. Some people had it.
People always got... And you know what?
Well, Brody was insane then. That's all I'm saying. Like, years ago.
Yeah, he might have been on medication then, too.
I'm just saying, I have a feeling that Brody's been on medication since he was a kid.
He's probably needed it.
Yes.
Yeah.
going off cold turkey was a bad idea.
Right. And I'm just saying this. And I'm not saying...
You're afraid of going on, or you don't
want
to go on.
And what I say is this. You know, I'm not putting down Brody. I'm just saying that the way that they handle things is that, okay, you're losing your shit a little bit. Let's put you on this medication.
If they're saying that 10 minutes, that sounds so fast.
I mean, that's the truth, man.
You can also tell them, like, hey, by the way, I don't like the idea of medication. I don't want to take it.
That's what I said.
Still do for me.
I said that, and I said, and by the way, is this covered by my insurance?
Yeah.
And they said, no, it's not. And so I walked out. I said, well, then I got to go.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the reason I say it was 15 minutes.
Yeah, you shouldn't pay that. What was the doctor's name?
I'm not going to mention it.
Tell them they have shitty practices.
I'm not going to do that.
Has anybody ever like road raged on you?
Yes.
And you've just been like the guy like trying to get away from it? Or what happens? Or tell me like when.
I can think of two times.
Because I've definitely cut people off by mistake, by like not seeing them or whatever. And then when they do like honk, it's like, we've all been at fault before.
Yes.
And I can see people getting way more angry than they need to. But so go ahead.
I forgot what you were going to say.
Has anybody road raged
you? I know.
Okay.
There was a guy that I was at a gas station, actually by the 101. It used to be in Arco many, many years ago on Hollywood Boulevard, somewhere near an entrance, if I remember correctly. And I remember going in there. It's by that 7-Eleven. I don't even know if it's an Arco anymore. Anyway, I went in there, I parked, and a guy, and I had a piece of shit car at the time, and the guy came behind, and I wasn't
behind.
Like, you know how self-serve gas station, there's two places you can go. He had this big frickin' truck, and he tried coming up. I was inside, and I wasn't...
Inside the gas station?
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally, my car was beyond the pump, so he was coming up, but he acted like there wasn't enough room. So he ran into my car and tried to push it up with his truck.
What?
And I came out, and I go, what the fuck are you doing? And he went ballistic on me. And so I go, well, what am I going to do? I mean, you're a lot bigger than me. And I went in the back of my car where I knew there was a baseball bat. And I go, get the fuck away from you. Get the fuck away from you. And I was like taking swings at him. And he was like, and I just remember because I used to have a thing, funny man, F-U-N-Y-M-A-N is a personalized license plate.
Who's yours?
Yeah.
Oh. That's horrible. Do you have that now?
No.
Oh.
I was a comedian. That's how I could show it.
Bobby Shropshire used to have that. She had like funny one.
Yeah.
I hit her car on purpose in the parking lot once. I pulled in. So I didn't know whose it was. I like stopped and then saw it and read it and just from like 10 feet out, just like, let's just speed up and hit it. Fuck that car.
Well, so I just remember him not saying funny man, but Foony man.
Oh, really?
Foony. Foony man. I'll remember that, Foony man. And you fucked with the wrong guy.
And you're like, no, it's F-U-N-N-Y.
It's supposed to be funny man.
Yeah.
I think I even corrected him.
Foony man.
And
what, because you were too far back? I saw a guy on a plane do that. He was next to me, and somebody couldn't get their bags up, like in the overhead thing. And he's like, there are specific guidelines to how big your bag has to be. If everyone just do it, we can get out of here. And I want to be like, dude, you got to let this go. This has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
You're having a coronary, and it's not your bag.
Well,
you're sitting down.
But you know what? In a way, not that I've ever done something like that, because I really try to control myself in that circumstance. But I can understand the pressure of like getting to the airport.
I've had to let it go recently. That. I've had to be like so hyped up that it's like, I'll take an edible now and I'll just be like, all right, you'll get there when you get there.
Yeah. It's just the plane.
You're in line. If you're in line and you're like looking at your watch,
right.
How long is the line going to take?
Absolutely.
I've had to tell myself, me looking at my watch 27 times is not going to get me there faster.
No, I know.
So either tell somebody I need to go right now or let it go.
When I just came back from New York about a month ago, it was like there was a line that was so long, and people were just cutting in front to get where you go through and get your bags checked.
Yeah. They were cutting there?
They were cutting in front, and I was like, oh, my God. And I just remember saying, okay, all right, just don't even look. Just don't even look. Because in the airport, my feeling is that's a dangerous place to show any kind of anger.
Why?
Because
fucking awful ass TSA.
Why don't you put down that little fucking book? Because I have a feeling there's a big one at the end.
There's not a big one at the end. I just try to get to them in no specific order. Go ahead.
I'm waiting. Airport.
I'm not. I'm looking for other things to get to. That's all I do. I take notes and stuff.
Really? Is that what you do? It's a real organized fucking thing you got going there.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is my last appearance on this fucking trial.
Do you remember the time that I was cutting you off? Did we talk about that last time I was on?
Yep.
I was cutting you off.
We worked it all out.
Yeah. Did we?
Yep. Everything's worked out.
Did we not?
Yep. Everything's worked out.
When I cut you off in front of Trader Joe's?
Everything's worked out. Everything's fine.
I don't really
recall, though.
I saw it was your car in front of me. It was back, you had a different car. It looked like yours. And then you were wearing a baseball cap, so I couldn't be sure it was you. But you do wear baseball caps.
I have.
So I was like, thank you for admitting that. So I was like, let me see if this is Don. Let me try to fuck with him. And I pulled up pretty quickly. I passed you in the right lane. It was left, two-lane street. And I passed you, saw it was you. And I pulled up ahead of you, 50 yards, whatever. Then as we're driving, I decided to like slowly move into your lane, probably 25 yards ahead of you, like close enough where you're like, whatever, you switch. No one likes people in front of them. It's easier to have no one in front of you. So you move over to your left, and I just kind of glide back to my left. Now I've got your attention. Now you start laying on the horn. And then you try cutting around me in the right, so I cut back to my right, and then I'm just right in the middle. I'm right in the middle of a two dotted lines, and you are fucking honking and screaming.
Doesn't sound like me.
Good 10 minutes. I can see you in my rear view, and you are livid. Your face is all red. So then eventually I slide over all the way to my right, and you know the fast pass? I used to do this on the freeway in the left-hand lane. If somebody wasn't moving out of that lane and I was flashing and they wouldn't leave, I would cut around them and then cut right back in front of them, like an inch in front of them, just so they knew that they should have been out of that lane. So you like pulled up real fast next
standard
to me.
Standard procedure.
Standard operating procedure. Absolutely. SOP. And then you're ready to fucking say something. And then you see it's me. And your face just sort of like, oh, fucking Jew.
I don't use that kind of
language.
You
didn't say that. Definitely not.
Because to me, there's one race, and that's the human race. But it was, anybody that would put labels
absolutely.
On people
you're always,
like that.
Mary Jane, you want to say something about the human race?
No, I agree with that.
Yeah, you're always ready. And then you were like, oh, it's Ari. And then you threw a glass, I think you're a cup of water. No, I know what it was, a burger. You threw a burger in a bag at me, and it went through my window into my car.
Well, this has been really
but
fun.
But I didn't know that I could just do this. I'm like, I know what this reaction will result in.
Well, this is really fun.
Yeah, Mary Jane.
That's why I brought up the story of me driving, because
everyone has gotten this before
angry. No, you didn't understand. Maybe my sarcasm wasn't obvious enough.
Oh, what?
I was given specific instructions by the passenger, Don, to get from LAX to the Comedy Store as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So I am driving safely and calmly.
And then Don was yelling?
As efficient as possible.
But I wasn't yelling.
No, he was being cool, but I knew one wrong move, or if it wasn't, we didn't get there quick enough.
See, all right, you guys talk. I'm done.
No.
I'm tired of being the whipping boy.
You're not the whipping boy. It's just an endearing part of your personality.
Tell me something good about me now. For every bad thing you've said, say something good.
We've said good things about you.
Name one thing you've said today.
About how great you are at improvising and how I learned this awesome technique from you.
You didn't say it that way.
I said it way longer and spelled it all out, the specific technique.
You just fucking hate me.
You do have this thing where you think people are attacking you when they're not always attacking you.
I'm just saying. Wait a minute. I'm not saying that this is attacking me.
No,
I just don't want to talk about this. Because you know what?
Can you talk about why you don't want to talk about it?
Because it doesn't make me look good in any way. What good comes from this?
I think it's fun. I think these things are fun.
Oh, do you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I think it's an endearing part of personalities that are differences.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't mind doing that. But you see, here's the deal.
It's like Joey Diaz talking about kidnapping people by machine gun.
Okay, that's a whole thing. But he's doing it in a funny way. This is something that I'd be the first to admit. I mean, there's been times that I've been upset with something, and Mary Jane's there, and I just have to tell her, you know, it seems like this is a night for Chick-fil-A. You know, I really throw it all out for it. but I'm saying this. There's nothing good that comes out of this. Yeah. And you have a bunch of listeners, and you're a powerful fucking dude.
I'm not that powerful, and they're not going to do anything wrong. They're just going to what they're going to do? They're going to write you and say, dude, I do the same shit.
Yeah, but
fuck
you know
those
what?
Drivers. You'll get a lot of people that, and a lot of people saying, dude, you got to calm down.
And that's what I do.
They'll all have their opinions.
I got the wrath of Brody.
That's because Brody telling them you're an asshole, I'm sure, or whatever it was.
It's just unbelievable. And you have all these people, and I know that I've got to get them to.
They're not going
to
do that.
I know that I've got to have them follow me. I know that I've got to turn them on, because I see what's happened to you. Success, man. You fucking handled this perfectly.
Yeah.
And your little group of people, they gave you the number one comedy album on iTunes. And as I told you, I'm so fucking proud of it. And it inspired me.
Yeah.
What's that?
Revenge for the Holocaust.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, and when I hear these things about Joey Diaz, all because of podcasts, I understand that. And then I look at my podcast, and I'm telling you this.
The Big Three podcast and the new Ding Dong Show podcast.
Well, the Ding Dong Show podcast, I'm a little upset with the people about that now. Because like the last show, literally, it was me trying to get things from people. I'm looking at cast members yawning. I'm like, we're on a podcast. It's a conversation. We have six people. I shouldn't be the only guy saying anything.
Really? They were out of it?
I tried, but see, I can't talk through the whole show. If Don's not doesn't want to talk through the whole show, I tried to pipe in as much as
I could.
We got to
come up with subject matter. We got to do something. I know it's all improvised, and I know we have a real hard time, but I just got to get people talking. And so I see but what's really, really frustrating is that I think that my podcast, I put a lot of freaking work into it. And I think it's really a funny, good podcast. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but if you get into it, and we have fans that really get into it. And what I'm saying is this, you get 60,000 people that listen to you in a day or a week.
Yeah, whatever.
I get 35 a month.
People?
Yeah, and it's just like 35,000 downloads.
That's great.
It's adequate.
Okay, but it's getting there, and those
are
fans.
But you know what? It's not. And so I really, and everybody, okay, you got to do these podcasts. You got to do this. You got to, and I do that, and then I get, okay, so today we've got this insane fucking guy on the road. There's no redeeming things about that. That's what I'm saying. And I'm just.
But it's not the only thing. It's like that you've been on this podcast more than anyone I've ever had.
Really?
Ren Azizi. He's co-hosted with me a few times. So it's like, it's not the only thing about you, but it is one of the things about you that's interesting. Just like you do warm up. That's an interesting part about you that I don't know very many people that are part of that world. Just like you were around the Comedy Store in the late 80s. Or mid-90s, or whatever it was. That's another part of you that is not like a lot of people I know.
Late 80s,
also,
90s?
Whatever it
absolutely.
Was that you were there. Just like you have this road rage that is not a lot of people like people I know. This rage
but
in
I don't
general.
Think that's a big check mark, and I don't think, hey, I've got a friend. I got to follow this guy on Twitter.
I wouldn't be
I got to listen to his
pilot. It's the most entertaining. You are so brilliantly creative with the way you maneuver around a menial, normal thing that everybody in America and everybody in the world has to deal with, basic traffic and frustration, going from home to work, from work to the store, store to another store. It's a normal, boring thing. You make it so brilliantly exciting. Am I right, Ari?
I was in the back. I remember this. And I hate mentioning her name because it's just I don't like drama anymore. But we were in the back, coming from the Valley, doing a live BK Breyers Kennedy Overdrive show.
What?
Oh, I know.
Somewhere in the Valley.
You don't have
what
to mention
this?
The name. We were booked at that one show in the Valley.
Through Gale?
Through Gale.
Yeah, some
well,
bar.
Who don't you like talking about?
Little Esther. But whatever, it's nothing bad.
Where was she?
She was in the back seat.
One of her last performances as a dancer.
In the back seat with me.
Okay.
The breakup just
and
occurred.
It just rained, and we were going over Laurel Canyon, and we were sitting in the back seat, so we couldn't really see where the roads went. It's just sort of like just feel and see the action. And Laurel Canyon is really twisty and turny. And we were super stoned. And it was so fucking scary. It was like a roller coaster ride. Like with every turn, you're like, oh my God.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. But you see how that can go? First, two things.
Yeah.
Number one, nowhere even near an accident.
No, no,
I controlled the car.
Yeah.
You guys were stoned, and you couldn't see. It was just the movement of the car. And if you've never been down Laurel Canyon,
it's not. But I'm just saying.
But we
were scared. But
I'm
back.
Okay, but what I'm saying is this: this whole thing came out, and it's like now I feel absolutely ridiculous.
People like hearing about ridiculous stuff on podcasts. It is ridiculous. The level of anger you show publicly is sort of ridiculous, but it's okay. It just makes you you. It's okay. No one gets mad when you show yourself on podcasts. They love that shit.
All right, I'm going to do what Brody did then.
What?
Tell people that I have a gun.
That would work for your road rage, too.
There's no gun.
That'd be perfect.
It's very funny. Perry has claimed this guy, and I'm sorry for the... Because
by the way, Simply Don won on Twitter.
Wow, thank you. Finally a promotion.
You're welcome.
And the Big Three podcast that stars... Perry, who we've known for 20 some years now.
Yeah.
And what was I going to say?
Were you going to, it was something about a gun. Were you going to say
gun,
something recently?
Well, what he did,
what?
Just to show you how crazy this guy is, I am scared to death of guns. I can tell you one story that I remember. When I was working at the mud wrestling place, the Tropicana.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
I was really good at what I
did. That shit.
I was really good at what I did.
Yeah.
And, but I was dating a Mexican girl there. That's very mean because to me, I don't even like saying Mexican. But the reason.
Hey, what's your favorite race, Don?
The human race.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Okay, but this girl, because there is only one race, but she was Mexican. The reason I say Mexican, because there's a lot of Mexicans that worked there that hated the fact that this white guy was going out with this Mexican. I mean, hated the fact.
Yeah.
And so one night, I'm hanging out with her and these security guards, and they were all Mexican. I remember going to their house in, let's say, a neighborhood that I had never been to before.
Yeah.
I remember going to their house a little weirded out, and I remember we were coming back from the club, so it was after the club, 3 in the morning, and I remember sitting at the kitchen table that they had, and he puts his gun on the table.
Whoa.
And I'm thinking, I'm going to be shot.
That's got to be a sign, right? Or a warning of some kind.
Yeah, I really fucking lost it, and I had no idea even how to get out of that neighborhood. It was very, very scary, but it was something I misread because I eventually said, you know, can I just tell you, I'm really a little bit nervous around guns. Could you not have this on the table aimed at me? Oh, okay. Sorry, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I'm telling you, for about 5 minutes, I was losing my mind.
Like that scene in Training Day?
Oh, yeah. And I had another scene like that,
too. You ever had your shit pushed in?
I had another scene like that, too. I won't go into that. I had a gun pointed at me one time. You remember Michael Wheels Parisi?
Uh-huh. He's a known mobster, right?
I just remember him as the most honest person I've ever known.
Okay.
Anyway, we were driving. One night, just driving around. He's in the front seat. And we were down. You know where Sunset turns and goes into, like, Echo Park?
Yeah.
All right, so we're coming back from the direction of Echo Park, coming back on Sunset, and we see this car, and I'm in the slow lane because we're just talking. Nobody else on the road. I see a car. They're flashing their brights. Then they get in the passing lane, and they start pulling up beside us, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then I see a gun aimed at us.
What?
Yeah. And it was just like, holy shit.
And what happened? They drove off?
No, I just, again, put on the brakes. And so they went flying by. And then I kind of came and I did a U-turn and I got out of there.
Wow. Dude, I saw a full gunfight car chase.
Did you really?
Swingers once. This guy, and he stopped in front of Swingers. There was all these cops, like, woo, we hear them coming. And this guy's like driving and he like stops in the middle of the lane. Where is that? 3rd Street or Beverly? He leans his head out and pops 3 shots behind him.
at the cops and then drives off and fucking 18 cops drive towards him.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Have you ever gotten to a full fist fight in a regular road rage incident? Like a back and forth?
The only time was the guy that hit me.
Okay.
The guy that punched me.
I think it's fun. I see road raging sometimes on the street. I'm like, oh, that's a road rage. Like someone will stop short and then someone else, they speed up. You see them like racing right against each other. And I want to be like, whoa. I want to follow, but I do not want to get involved.
No, you can't. I mean, it's...
But I want to see it. It's like, wow, you guys are fighting now.
Yeah, it's just... And see, like I say, even the little things that we talk about,
yeah,
I know in my heart, like sitting here right now, I understand.
Yeah, because so you're not stupid in the, you're not, you don't have the feeling
and
right
I'm
now.
I'm just telling you. But yeah. But I have so much anxiety when I leave my quarters.
I would definitely think about seeing a different type of person for that. They have a whole, it's a whole, it's either therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist. One of those can't prescribe pills.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you. I don't want to get into the Brody yeah thing because his life is now controlled by medication.
Yeah.
I think.
And by the way, let me just say something. I continue to say this about Brody. I don't want to point him out, but it's just that.
Well, you see him as a reason not to do the things he's.
Well, I see, you know, that you see him as he's a the sign closest
yeah
thing in my life. I've seen other people, but
yeah,
you know Brody.
Yeah. No, I get that. Well, you see one example and you're like, oh, this makes it real for me.
Yeah, I just. I know that everything I do is very silly, and I feel bad about it. I really do. I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I really wish I didn't.
Man. How long does it stay with you after you get into, like, an altercation?
It depends. Depends upon how bad it might have been.
Right.
But, I mean, that can happen. It happens, like, at the Comedy Store.
Do you think about it, like, a day or two later, or do no they sort of, they're sort of gone from there because it happens enough?
I think that if I ever think about it a day or two later, it isn't about what they did, it's about my reaction. It quickly becomes, oh, what am I doing? My God. And I really try to fight.
Or thinking, yeah.
Like I said before, I mean, now.
Really try to fight what?
I'm not going to mention a name.
Okay.
And please don't
okay,
try to guess it. There was a guy a long time ago that a comic or jeez a wannabe oh, okay comic that would hang out at the Comedy Store. And one night he started giving me shit. And I kind of grabbed him, and I kind of just went like this and shook him a little bit,
mm-hmm,
just to show, don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
I'm not a weak guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah.
Well, I think that he kind of had that in his mind that I was like, it always stayed in the back of his mind because I shook him in front of people.
Yeah.
And he didn't do anything about it. So after that, he kind of changed around me, and I saw it. And then one night, he was trying to pick up on some girls at the club.
Yeah.
And those girls came in to watch my set. And now they wanted nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So he got in the back of the room and started heckling me. I was like, what are you doing? And then there was another guy that started heckling me. That was his friend. And I'm like, okay. And it was so fucked up, and all I could think of, I'm getting off the stage. I can't deal with this because I can't fight anymore. I can't do that. So I walked away from it, and I felt bad about that.
About what?
About just leaving the stage.
Okay.
I mean, that one stuck with me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Because you're like, do you think like how I could have done it differently?
No, well, because there's no way to do it differently. There's no way to do it differently. Yeah. And what the comics
heckle too. It's like there's no way to you can't.
But he wasn't heckling. He was just trying to be a fucking dick,
yeah,
and he was trying to call me out. Let's just say this is a guy that never gets spots, and so now he's trying to heckle me.
Yeah,
and it's like I'm just those type of things, and I know I shouldn't be that way.
What should be what way?
That affects me.
Oh right,
because the people that aren't affected that way, they seem to be happy in life.
Yeah. I remember Maz Jobrani saying after all that Mencia stuff happened, they're like, who cares? Just let it go. Like, he saw me in La Jolla, and I was
yeah
so mad. I was like, what do you mean let it go? This is like fucking stealing our lifeblood. Well, but then I realized later, it's not that he's saying that he's okay what he's doing. Yeah. Maz is saying, why you're like harping on it? Now you're still upset about it. Just right. let it go and move on with your life.
Right. There's a guy that's happy, too.
He's happy.
I see that guy as a yeah. happy guy. He might be one of the most together comics there is.
Yeah. He says hi to everybody. He stays out of drama and trouble and just...
But do you have therapy?
Yeah, but I've had to let a lot of stuff go. I used to get way more worked up about it. I'm not in it right now.
Do you take medication?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, because I remember you a few times.
Remember my suicidal days?
Yeah.
Yeah, so medication's helped me.
How has it hurt you?
Well, finding the right medication is an agonizing process.
Yeah.
There's so many side effects that you have to deal with before you find out if that medication is even the right one that will work. The side effects happen immediately. You find out if it'll work after a month. So, like, you have to deal with sometimes no boners. One of the medications, I gained, 20% or 30% of my body. I added that
really?
On. I could eat nonstop. I had hyperphagia.
When was this?
This was during it.
How many years ago?
Three, something like that.
Yeah, see, I remember you coming up. I remember one time you came up and you just seemed... so fucking negative. If you don't make it by the time you're 27, you have no shot ever, ever, ever. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? I mean, you were just like, well, there's a positive beat.
I've been so beaten down by Mitzi that eventually
really?
You start thinking like you cannot succeed.
Well, you know what? I remember Mitzi used to say this to people. Well, you know what she did?
What?
She had the attitude... And I remember her saying this to somebody. This is the entrance level of show business.
Yeah.
The comedy store. In some ways, it really is.
Yeah.
But if you can't handle a little Jewish lady, if you can't handle that step, you're not going to make it in show business anyway. Because everyone's much more cutthroat.
Yeah.
And just being in
She's not trying to backstab you. She's just making it difficult.
Right. And I'll tell you this. I've seen what it's like in a big television show.
Yeah.
I see the politics that go in there. It is like unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I will tell you this. As I've let stuff go, she had me screaming. She had me throwing chairs in the main room, just enraging. But yeah. I will tell you that since I've let stuff go, and it's not just because of the pills. It was even angry after that. But just let things go like, okay, for sure. Think you won. It's okay. Like, I don't try to get back at people in audiences when there is an old lady who doesn't like me. It's like, that's totally allowed. I've been happier because I don't think about those negative people later.
Yeah, well, I completely understand that. It is hard. I'm somewhat lucky. I mean...
But there's different pills with different side effects or no side effects, and each person reacts differently to each one.
Well, that's the thing, finding the right one.
Even just talking to someone, though, sometimes helps. I have a girl... I see sometimes that it was that started seeing a therapist, and it's just like it's just an interesting way to talk about yourself.
Are there any therapists? Are there any therapists that would come to your house and give you a massage?
Massage therapists.
Yeah, this is well. Thanks for humiliating me.
Not humiliating, Don. Right. Totally fine. There's so many people get road rage. I had to fight myself not to get it. Sometimes people come off as no, you're stop. What are you going to gain by still blocking them out? Just pull back and ignore it. You'll forget it in 30 seconds.
But what is this? What is this show going to be entitled?
Probably Road Rage, or how about Fighting Me Every Step of the Way with Don Barris, or thinking everyone's out to get him with Don Barris.
Who says that everybody's out to
Not
get
everyone.
Me? Who?
But you do have this thing where you're a little bit
give me
more
one,
sensitive
give
than
me
most
one,
people.
Give me one example.
When you said you've done nothing but attack me this whole show.
Okay, because the tone that you came at me...
I was trying my best telling you
okay,
I'm not attacking.
But I'm just saying, the tone that you came at...
Let's talk about road rage.
No, because you just... Like, you made it sound... And I...
Because we've already talked about it.
All right, right. But
so
you
many
were,
times.
You were cutting... But you see, here's the deal.
Yeah.
You're telling an audience.
Yeah, I don't worry about them. I just sort of talk and talk.
Okay, but you see, that's what I have to worry about. I mean, do you understand that?
I get
because
it.
Because all you
I
did
get it.
Was like, you made, oh, how about the time that you...
Because I wanted you to share and you weren't sharing anything.
I did share things.
Eventually, I'm
Before you even did that. I shared a story. I shared the urine story.
Yeah, well, I had to bring that up. I had to start that. You weren't going to mention that. You said, let me tell it my way instead of the way you have written down.
No, because I'm sure Tebow told you the wrong way.
My point is, though...
But when you heard it the way that it happened, what's your take on it?
It's like, yeah, I've driven with bears before.
No. When I told you how it happened.
Oh, yeah. What's my take on
what's
it?
What's your take on it? Was I wrong?
Were you... No, but I would never have gotten into that situation. I wouldn't have been.
So if somebody hit your car,
at a flower shop calling the police.
All right, if somebody hit your car, mm-hmm. how would you handle it?
I definitely probably would have gotten out.
Okay,
and looked at
when
it.
He gave you the finger.
Yeah,
how would you have handled it?
I would have been like, I wouldn't have started following him. I would have gotten his license plate number. That's what I would have gotten, and then like, well, if he's going to drive away, what can I do? I'm not a vigilante. I'm not going to take care of this. It wouldn't have gone to that level. I would never have pulled into the... And that's not saying I'm better than you. I'm just different. I would never have pulled into a gas station to follow somebody to let them know they're wrong. It's not that you're wrong to do that.
But
you just get more passionate about those things.
I disagree.
You think I would have?
I think that there's things that show that you have done things pretty fucking crazy.
I've done plenty of things crazy.
Right. I'm just saying... Like,
no one's better than you.
No, I'm not saying that. But you know what? Let me think of something that I... Okay. The whole Bobby Lee situation.
Yeah, I punched that guy in the face. I was super mad all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I've mentioned it many times.
I know that you have. But you were able to explain it.
Yeah.
And you were able to say how it happened. And when I say to you, what did I do that was really wrong when I told someone, hey, you're a real asshole.
Yeah. You didn't do anything wrong. I just want to hear about it.
Okay.
I just want to hear the details.
But the audience looks at me as a real asshole now.
No, they don't.
Do you think I'm an asshole?
No. But I do think you definitely drive angry.
Okay, well.
But it's not doesn't
make
you an asshole.
I think you drive very angrily.
Do you? Do you really think I do that?
Yes.
You really do?
Yes, I do. Now.
Yeah.
Touché. How do you like it?
I'm okay with it.
Road rage is a funny topic. I mean,
yeah.
I prefer all my media filtered through cartoons. And on numerous cartoons, they have these highly animated, super exciting.
You ever see that Donald Duck one where the guy breaks down into a demon? He gets into his car. It's like, it's that duck. It's the German scientist duck. He goes, Johnny, he's like, Johnny Motorist gets into his car and he changes. He becomes a monster. You ever see that one?
No.
Oh, that's a good one. It's a good old Donald Duck one. I got to put that. I'll put that on my website. I'll find it, put it on my website. That's a good one.
Oh, you're just having a real good time with this, aren't you?
Dude, it's not a bad thing. Nobody cares about anything people do on podcasts.
You weaseled that story of Brody out of me. I don't know how you got that out.
Are we not going to say the funny thing that happened last night?
What happened last night?
Brody did a first. Don, am I allowed to say this?
It's just boring. No, because you know what?
Okay. It'll come out on another podcast. I thought it was a chapter from the desk.
I'm not attacking. I would like to...
something new.
I talked to Fitzsimmons about how much he fights. He literally fights. It's not so much on the road, but how much he fights.
Fights who?
People. At bars, whatever he was when he was little or older, or even today, even a couple months ago. He's had some things he's done.
Like what's the thing that he did?
He ran somebody off the road.
Okay, I've never done that.
No, you haven't. But he shared it happily. As long as...
He's got a fucking career.
As long as...
I work my fucking ass off every fucking day, and I got 4,000...
No one's
going to
be mad at you. No one's
going to
be down
followers.
On you.
What happened when Brody started...
What did Brody say?
I have no idea, because he won't tell me. He denies everything.
You didn't go listen to it?
Listen
Brody
to it.
Touted on Twitter that Don hadn't improvised with him or done the band in 5 weeks.
And so they all told you that you should do it with him?
Stop being a baby. Stop being a pussy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like I said, some guy recently, one of your fans.
A lot of 14-year-olds. Yeah, go ahead.
One of your fans.
You mispronounced Ari's name.
Yeah.
But you know that you do it on purpose.
But
so why
he's so
you?
Fucking stupid that
he
does it.
Yeah, he's probably 10.
He could be joking with you.
He could be joking with you. Like, I don't know if you realize you're mispronouncing that name.
No, but he said a bunch of other things.
Well, then that guy's a guy you don't like. Just fucking block him and move on.
I don't eat.
Just block him and ignore him from your life completely forever.
Well, you're a master at the podcast. You've actually succeeded in this world.
He keeps calling me.
Who?
I don't know. Someone from the 916.
See, just to explain something, you've become very successful in this world. Yeah. I work my freaking ass. Do you think that I work hard?
Yeah, you do work very hard.
All right.
The Perry Projects and the Ding Dong Show itself, you put, those are your side jobs. And you put more work into those than I put into comedy.
I work my tail off.
Yeah.
And every night I'm at the Comedy Store. I've never missed a day, the entire run of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
I work my fucking ass off.
Yeah.
And I really got nothing.
To show for it?
Really nothing.
You have your own podcast network?
Yeah, well, that's... But I have... You know, 35,000 listeners downloads a month.
That's way better than some people.
Way better, but you know what? The type of
I'll tell you about this quote I really like. Johnny Pemberman told me it's either Mark Twain or Shakespeare. It said comparison is a thief of joy. The more you start rating yourself up to other people, you're always going to find someone who's doing better than you. That's why I've heard Gary Shandling is such a prick. Such a miserable guy, because he's always like, Seinfeld's better, but I'm better than him, but he has more money than me. And it's like, you're Gary Shandling. Just enjoy your fucking life. You've had an awesome career, but you're worried about that you're not Seinfeld.
Okay, but you know what?
You do amazing things. Artistically?
I can't even get a place of my own. I still rent.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just...
You make decent cash over there, don't you?
Yeah, not enough to get a condo.
How much do you make?
I'm not going to go
into detail. No, tell me that later.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, and they don't give me raises.
Maybe if you didn't invest all your money in snow globes, you'd have more cash.
I tried to cut down the purchasing of lamps, too.
Okay, first of all.
And by the way, yeah.
First of all, when you put down the snow globes, I have worked it into a position that I said, okay, for this podcast studio.
Do you have a menorah snow globe for Hanukkah there on the table? You do.
Yes, I do.
On this table.
Yes, I do.
Here, Mary Jane. This one? Yeah, that one.
Should I get some of the Jew Gold candy for him? Does he want candy?
Please. Yes,
okay.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. But what I say is this, and even on those, you would appreciate this, because when you see the snow globes, your first thought is, oh, look at those. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, the way I get these is I'll go to these...
Snow Globe District.
The Snow Globe District.
Yeah.
Where they have artificial price snow.
Or $7 for a menorah snow globe? Come on. That's how I can go next door.
Oy vey, Pabshmir.
Oh, it's Glicks.
Yeah.
It's Glicks holiday coins.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
In honor of your recent 8 Days of Christmas. There you go. But what was I saying there? Oh, the snow globes. I go to the thrift stores,
yeah.
And what I do, it's not that I buy these.
Yeah.
Because I'm at the thrift stores so much, they know me. So they always give me discounts there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so...
You go to Out of the Closet at all?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Constantly.
They have good tchotchkes.
They've got a lot of stuff.
But that makes you happy. It makes you happy to buy things.
It makes me happy to find prizes.
Yeah. You came with some like Yentl type like that's over the bar now, the back bar of the Comedy Store.
Yes.
Some like, it's such a sheeny Hebe thing, whatever it is. It's so old country, and it's like, jeez, it's like cartoonishly large noses and. Man, nothing tastes worse than Jewish chocolate.
Really?
I really managed to rob the flavor out of all this stuff. It still tastes like chocolate, but for like.
And milk chocolate, it's about 4 years old too.
It's very white. When you open it, it's not brown. It's white.
Yeah.
A comedian gave me two of those for some reason in my last birthday thing as a joke.
Really?
And it was just terrible.
Very well, funny. So all those globes, when you say if I'd save money on those globes.
I was joking.
There might be $40 in globes.
Really?
Right there.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bargain.
I mean, I get them for next to nothing. And that's what I do. And I'm just, because I wanted this studio to look bizarre. Does it look bizarre?
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And I kind of work my tail off to do that.
I want
to
make a snow globe with me in it. But when you turn it over, instead of snow, it's little cash money signs. Or dollar bills.
You could easily do that.
How could you get one manufactured?
Because I have a snow globe that you can put things in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have it in the other room. I'll show you it after the show.
Okay.
Well, anyway, Eric.
I'd like to see you happy, Don. I like seeing you when you are happy, which you usually are. And I even like seeing you when you're road rage. It's all fun. You're a friend of mine, man. I like you. I'm not going to make you look bad.
Oh, but you already have.
How have I?
Because all your fucking followers are going to...
I don't know what you think. They've only been nice. They've only showed up at the shows.
Oive Papschmier.
That's what? Not what they say. No one says that. Papschmier is not what the Jews say.
What do they say?
Oive... Now, I don't even know because I've heard you say Oive Papschmier so many times. I forgot what the real one is. Oive something.
Some schmear.
Oive Papschmier. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Well...
I lost it all.
Can you speak Hebrew at one point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, can you give great, me a couple? But I can get by.
Can you give me a couple things how I would say it?
Yeah, what would you want? Like, what do you want to say?
All right. I'll give you a line, then you tell me how you would say it in Yiddish. Or is it Hebrew?
Hebrew. I barely know Yiddish at all.
Okay. Good morning. Can you tell me the time?
Boker Tov. Can you... Can you? I don't know how to say it exactly.
Okay.
The bear. Meet. I don't know. What's time?
All right, here. Let me give you another one.
Masha'a means what time is it?
Okay.
Boker Tov, Masha'a. That's how you say it.
Okay. Then let's try this. Can you give me directions to the nearest petrol station?
Chag Sameach, Chanukah. No, I don't know how to say all that.
I would like to cram my big cock into your cunt hole.
Still one of my favorite shirts. I wear that in public once in a while. The reactions I get. It's a navy blue, too big on me t-shirt with bright, bright green writing. I'd like to shove my big... What does it go?
I'd like to cram my big cock into your cunt hole.
Yeah. I walked through San Francisco with that, and just the looks I got...
Well, at least give me credit for it. I made the t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. No, based on your words, and you made the t-shirts. We made two t-shirts. We made that, and we made a...
Ain't no bitch gonna front me, Sergio Love.
Ain't no bitch gonna front me. I wear that on the airplanes, too, when I fly, and some lady at TSA was howling at that. She goes, I'm like, why? She goes, your t-shirt, because I always forget what I have on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
See, I always forget what I'm wearing.
Yeah, because you have so many shirts.
Believe it or not, I don't put a lot of time into what I wear.
Is your 50 shirts in 50 days? When is that starting?
I think that I might start it on Christmas.
I would start January 1st so it's easier to keep track of.
I'll know what it is.
It'd be nice for people to say, oh, it's day 35, right? It's fourth day of February. It's day 35. I can do the math easier for other people. But yeah, Christmas is a good time to start too.
Yeah, I do that. And so I'll be... So you guys that start following me on Twitter for 50 days, I will take a picture...
Of a new t-shirt.
That I am wearing that day.
Wow. I'm going to start. I just really want to quit.
What did you do into my microphone?
That is Mole's mic? I just farted into Mole's mic. Listen to
I thought Jews hated gas.
3podcast.com. Mole's mic got farted in by the Jew.
That's stupid. I love doing that. I love Jews hated gas.
All right.
Anyway, every Monday night
all right.
At 10 o'clock p.m. upstairs at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room is the Ding Dong Show. It is one of the most interesting shows you'll ever watch.
And at least for the time being, we're now doing our pre-show is on Death Squad.
The Death Squad Network, and the pre-show is called the Ding Dong Show pre-show?
I don't know what it's
called. That's why you wrapped it up and then started over. I thought you were already recording. So you do record, then you wrap up and have the actual full live show.
Right.
Yeah, we have three interesting. Up, and then we'll take 2 weeks off, and then the first
Because my theory is that these guys aren't going to be able to do different things every week.
Yeah, a lot of it's the same.
So it's kind of like, so I'm just trying to figure out exactly what we're getting out of it, and it's just like the Ding Dong cast, my hope is it will draw attention to the Ding Dong cast because they'll find the characters colorful.
The Q&A's help too because people would want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
See those be fun.
Oh, absolutely. And I do that.
Yeah.
But this past week, it was like people that had no idea who the fuck we were. They stayed over from the secret show.
Oh.
And
you got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
But we did a podcast about a color Ding Dong show.
Right. And a lot, actually, people came.
Ding Dong. Ding. I picked a song for that because it was right around New Year's. And it was a song, who was the fourth Beatle?
Well, Ringo Starr.
Ringo Starr. There was a Ringo Starr song.
Actually, it's George Harrison.
George Harrison. He's the fourth Beatle.
No, he's not.
Ringo Starr is the third Beatle.
How could you? No, absolutely not.
Ringo Starr has more of a name now than George Harrison. The first Beatle is John Lennon, then McCartney, although now you could say the other way around. The fifth Beatle is Travis Best or whoever played for Georgia
Travis
Tech.
Travis Best.
Whoever played for Georgia Tech in those days.
No. And all right, no. First of all, how can you say this? On the album Abbey Road.
Well, I got to have faith, the faith. Oh, that's not George Harrison. Which one's George Harrison's song in the 80s?
I got my mind set on you.
I got my mind set on you. All right,
but George Harrison on Abbey Road wrote two songs that have become standard.
So did I.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah.
That have been recorded by Sinatra.
What song?
Here Comes the Sun.
Here Comes the Sun.
And Something. Something in the Way She Moves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Frank Sinatra even had it in his live repertoire.
Well, anyway.
All right, well, please be nice to me.
What were they saying about Ringo?
You were saying the fourth Beatle.
What did he do, though?
I don't know. You didn't say.
Because we got sidetracked. Do you remember?
Because you made such a fucking fool of yourself saying he was the third Beatle.
Oh, because no, of
Ding Dong.
I just thought
Ding Dong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I picked out a perfect song because it was a New Year's song by him, and the New Year's song is him ringing the New Year saying Ding Dong, Ding Dong.
Right.
I was really happy with that find.
Really?
Because it went so well with what it was.
Yeah.
And it was a cool fucking musician, too. It was in his heyday.
Not in his heyday, really.
Well, he still had big sideburns back in those days, 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it wasn't his heyday. It was when he was in the Beatles. I guess that was his
no,
heyday.
Because his first album, Isn't It a Pity, was a huge three-album set when it came out. It was huge, too.
Wow.
And so that was his first album, but actually, Ding Dong, Ding Dong was a single. It wasn't on any of his albums.
Yeah.
But getting back to this, and I really mean it. Ari, I just don't want to be hated by your
They don't hate you. They like you. They always respond well when you come on this podcast.
Well, I hope so, because I'm embarrassed by getting mad at people. I'm sorry that when people are stupid, I don't know why, and it probably will get me killed. And then one day you'll replay this when I'm murdered.
I would replay it. If you get murdered for being in a road rage incident, I would replay this shortly after your death.
Thank you.
It should have been kind of a more action-packed, more dirty details show if the goal is to play it after your death from road rage.
Well, that wasn't the goal. I'm not hoping it dies till after the new year. I mean, or
you're not.
A long time from now, no.
You're definitely not.
I'm not.
Okay, I'll accept that. But push Big Three Podcast is every week.
It's on iTunes.
We're actually.
Do you have a website?
Yeah, we're on
www.thebig3podcast.com.
But we're also
spelled out or the number three.
Number three, and we're also going to do a. We may be going to Sundance to do a midnight podcast because we.
Wow.
I don't even know the name of the company, but I know.
It's exciting coming soon. That's not
is
the name
Michael
of it,
Cera?
But it is.
Michael Cera, yeah. Oh, he's got a new website.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, they want to compete with Funny or Die, and a lot of people are on it, a lot of big people. And then we're doing something on there, the Big Three. And what we're going to kind of do is, for anybody who knows, probably nobody on your fucking network, but people that know the Big Three have been dying for these videos. Like, because we had we used to do public access shows, and who was my announcer on my public access show?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
Dressed in a chicken suit for no reason.
Yeah.
Never mentioned it, just dressed in a chicken suit.
It might have been because it was Halloween or something.
Oh, okay.
And I was a ghost in that one. Or I was.
That was a scratch off lottery.
Yeah. Were you
dressed up in that one?
I think I was.
That was a good one. Well, that was a good one.
We're going to bring back all the old video and kind of introduce them on this show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because people have been. Yeah, we've been saving it for something. This will be the thing. So the Big Three, the Ding Dong Show, and every night I'm over at the Comedy Store. I close out, and it can be fun there. You know, Ari comes once in a while. I even bring up Ari and I let him talk about his heritage.
I do say it's the best thing to do after 1 p.m. in L.A.
1 p.m.? Wow. Yeah. The middle of the
1
afternoon.
1 a.m. There's nothing better in Los Angeles to do. Because one, bars are just about to shut down. Two, it's usually after 2 a.m. on weekends. And it just goes to like 3, right?
Yeah, sometimes. But I think there's people that are stopping that. I know it.
Well, for the time being, it's there. So if you get a chance, if you're in LA on even a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just when you're sobering up, you're about to leave, just run to the Comedy Store. It's the best, most fun place to sober up.
You've shown that you don't like me, but I just want you to know I respect you. All right. I really do. And I appreciate you letting me come on here. I just tell them to listen to my podcast when you do your little thing. I need people. Yeah, okay. That'd be nice.
Yeah, a lot of them will find you from that. And the ones that are into that style of stuff will stay.
Actually, I'm sorry. Well, there you go. All right, so, thanks for ruining my life. Goodbye.
George Harrison, take it out.
Play a different George Harrison.
Oh, no, I got my set on you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you opening it with?
I don't know, but sometimes a new thematic song. It's stuff I write down too. Sometimes songs.
All right, can I throw one at you? Absolutely. I won't tell you now.
Absolutely.
So the song that opens the show was selected by me.
Okay. And this time I know it's real. The feeling that I feel. I know if I put my mind to it, I know that I really can do it. I got my mind set on you. My mind set on you. Set on you. But it's gonna take money. Boom. That's the episode, you guys. That's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Man, he was worried about sharing, but he eventually did, so it's pretty cool. Don't forget to go visit the Ding Dong Show some point on a Monday night if you're in Los Angeles, 10 p.m. It's free, so just buy drinks. And this, honestly, the waitresses up there, they probably won't even bug you for drinks if you're just like, oh, I'm good for now. They'll probably leave you alone. Give her like a $3 tip and say, I'm not going to drink anything. Is that cool? And she'll be like, yeah, okay. Probably. I don't know for sure. So that's it, everybody. Don't forget, Passive Aggressive comes out February 5th. Pre-order it now, chill.com/Ari Shaffir, or just go to arishaffir.com or arithegreat.com. You can see a link for it there. They also, Chill has all these things where like they have these packages. We can get my special and the vinyl for Revenge for the Holocaust, which is a completely different hour of material, by the way. None of the stuff is the same. It's all the new stuff that I wrote in 2012, or developed. So that's it. Make sure to go to Amazon.com through my website, and they'll give me like a kickback. And then also ProFlowers. There's a link there too. And I have a sponsors box. So if you go through any of them, Amazon to do all your Amazon shopping, ProFlowers to get your Valentine's Day gifts. Oh, Valentine's Day coming up. Hey, they sent me flowers again. They sent me roses. And they're really cool. I gave them to a girl. They're all multicolored. Fucking flowers aren't a bad thing, man. They light up your day, boys or girls. Anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. I think I may stop doing these wrap-ups in the end. I don't know if they're necessary. Sometimes I have fun with them, like that Bill Burr episode where I got super stoned and tried to order shit offline. Like, that was cool. But sometimes I just think they're like extra. I don't know. Tell me what you guys think. Also, write to me on Twitter or follow me on Twitter. That way you can find out about all my dates and stuff. Facebook fan page doesn't really get as much effort. Okay, thank you guys. Until next week, goodbye.
I was born in Saginaw, Michigan. I grew up in a house in Saginaw Bay. My dad was a poor, hard-working Saginaw fisherman. Too many times he came home with too little pay. I loved a girl.